It's the Heavy Bloggers Heavy Album of the Year Review Podcast!
All right, welcome back. It's been a while, but I have the gang back together because I think last time we did this was a year ago, exactly when we were doing the 2022. I don't know what this is, but we're here, we're doing it. We're here to talk about some music that came out in 2023.
This is the podcast. Once a year, top 15 albums. That's it.
By the way, Carlo and Eden are here with me.
Hello.
Hello.
I had this whole introduction where I was going to say, we got Eden representing the best in underground music that you've never even heard of. Say hi, Eden.
Hello. is that my job?
Yeah, that's what you're bringing to the table.
Okay.
And then we have Carlo, who's representing like some extremely technical, progressive music that you've got to spend a lifetime studying and to fully perform and appreciate. That's your style. That's what Carlo's bringing. Yep. And then we have me representing songs you can sing along to and remember. So we're here to talk about some music that came out in 2023. And before we get into that, I did want to ask you guys how you felt about the year in music in general. And I will go first because I think I'm going to be the odd one out here. Like for me, it's been a very good year. There are a lot of albums that I really, really like, as we're going to hear about. But it's been a pretty unremarkable year in music for me. Like I just think the where music is at the moment or the music I'm exposed to is just not aligning with my tastes. It's like there's barely been a hair metal album worth talking about or a decent pop album released all year. Like just things have shifted away from my tastes compared to last year and some of the other ones. But I think looking at everything that's come out, and I do know sort of the stuff that's on your guys' list, this strikes me as a very Eden and Carlo aligned year. Is that correct?
So I've been having a weird week with music because I'm writing my decade in review. It's been 10 years since I started writing for Heavy Blog in just about a week or so, a bit more. So I've been thinking a lot about years and trends and so on. And I feel like, I don't know how many people will care about that post, but people who read it might, it's a lot of deconstruction of stuff that I did over the past decade, because I think there's a lot of bias in how we think about music, because, and I'll tell it for a joke that only you two will understand, nobody listening, so apologies. Not many people know a Trent, right? Like Trent, who writes for a Heavy Blog, who listens to over 1,000 albums a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not many people are like Trent, that I also listen to over 1,000 albums a year. So in what sense is it like when I say it's been a good decade for music, in what sense is that true? I mean, it's anybody who's listening to over 1,000 albums a year and develops a specialized taste, it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome, right? The music almost has to be good. Otherwise, I feel like I'm wasting my entire life, right? Like all I do is listen to music. So at some point, like you cross this threshold, well, you know, I don't know, if you, maybe a different metaphor, if you had a sensor that's sensitive enough, you could put it anywhere in the universe, right? And sense anything. Mm. So if your sensor to good music is overtuned and you're constantly looking for music, you'll find really good music every single year, right? But what does that say about the year in general? Or like taking it a step further, is there such a thing as the year in general? Is it like what the, if you had perfect knowledge and you could sum up every single album released every single year, would one year be better than the other? I don't know. That's my thought. Sorry for being annoying. It's like there's no clear answer. It's just, I had a blast this year. I listened to a lot of really good music, but that's true for last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year before that. And like, the only 2 years that stand out as especially fantastic is 2016 and 2020. Mm-hmm. Those were years where I remember I was like, what's going on? But then every other year, they were all excellent. Just those years were like overwhelmingly excellent. Mm-hmm. So 2023 was another excellent year.
I have thoughts about that, but I'll hear what Carlo has to say first.
Oh, well, there you go. Bullshit philosophy corner returns.
Yeah.
Well, for me, like, I thought the year was good, similar along similar lines to Ed, and like every year, if you listen to it enough, you'll find things that you enjoy. And certainly in terms of bands that I follow, it was a bumper crop in terms of, you know, top 10 favorite bands releasing new records. But probably I think my top three I really love, but it sort of drops off from there. And there's still a lot of albums I like, but not like deeply, deeply love like there has been in years gone by.
Okay. I guess, yeah, to what Ian was saying about, you know, your perspective being warped by the way you're looking at things. It's last year when you and I were doing the review podcast, Carlo, and every week I'm coming in, or every month I'm coming in, I'm going, I'm sorry, there's so much hair metal and metalcore that I know is more for me, and there's not really anything here for you. Whereas this year, when I'm going through all the, I'm doing the release roundup posts and going looking everything comes out a week, I'm like, oh, it's all of Carlo's favorite bands released albums this year, which I'm sure we will hear about some of those. But yeah, of course, there's good music everywhere. I'm about to talk about 25 albums that I think are incredible that I've listened to all year. So clearly there's great stuff that I like. But sort of, yeah, picking up on overall trends, and obviously we're in it, so maybe with hindsight there'll be more perspective, but music in general just seems more disparate and scattered to me. Like there isn't that real solid narrative. I mean, even last year, looking at the big albums, like Ghost was the big album, and we didn't really talk about it much at Heavy Blog. Carlo and I liked it, no one else did. But in terms of a band becoming big, breaking through, having a big story about them, that being the focal point album and dominating, you know, other publications' year of end list, that was the story. This year, I don't really know if there's been one. Like, is it the Sleep Token album? That's the closest I can think of in terms of a big story release for 2023.
Depends on the slice, I think, of the media that you're looking at, right? Like if you're looking at underground music and music coverage, then it's Agriculture. Agriculture was everywhere that release. Like I'm saying in the underground metal circles, everybody was talking about it. Metallica, yeah.
That was going to be my next point.
indie darlings, Metallica. But here's the thing, like now that I'm in the States, I meet Noyen from the blog a lot more because he's in New York, I'm in Providence. It's like 3 hours by train, so I see him a lot more. And we were just talking a few weeks ago about how much of these trends are just affected by album release cycles.
Yeah,
they're like big bands. By coincidence, they've synced. One example, Gojira and Mastodon seem to be releasing albums together. It's not intentionally, right? But just the cycles have synced up in some way. So in off years where Gojira and Mastodon are, they're not actually working on the album, right? Like bands of that size they can release 15 albums, right? They have a lot of stuff on the editing floor. It's all about collecting it and giving it artwork and producing it and so on. While they're doing that, it feels empty because those titans are not releasing an album that everybody's going to talk about. Same thing, like this year, basically. What I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just taking like a cynical perspective.
You're welcome to disagree with me.
Yeah, I'm not even doing that though. I'm saying like, it's just one way to slice it. Like Mastodon, Gojira, and Meshuggah didn't release an album, and that's why it might feel empty, because no one is shoving one of those bands down your throat, whether you like it or not. Hint, hint, Meshuggah. I can't listen to them anymore. But whenever they release an album, I can't get away with it because every single person is talking about it. So I don't know. It feels like there are cycles that are not, there's nothing inherent about them, right? It's just coincidence of the nature of how music is made.
I mean, I sort of alluded to that with all of Carlo's favorite bands releasing albums this year. It's like there's a Carlo cycle.
Yeah.
A lot of my favorite 100%. Bands released albums last year and the year before.
I live on the 2 year release cycle of Dreadnought, right? Dreadnought release an album every 2 years, and that's all I'm waiting for, right? So.
But I'm a little bit surprised to hear about that Agriculture album, because I did hear about it. I did listen to it when it came out. People were talking about it, and then I never heard anything about it, never thought about it ever again. But I guess that's going into the sub Josh regions of underground metal more so. Like I probably bought about it. Like Tomb Mold's the other one that seems to be getting the push. And it's weird that one's kind of the anointed sort of mainstream underground release, but they've had a bit of buzz around them for a while. I think another thing that's made this year seem a little bit underwhelming in general is when we talk about the big, big mainstream albums, they've all shit the bed. And like, this is sort of bleeding into last year a little bit, where we had a crappy Meshuggah album, we had a crappy Slipknot album. This year, the two big metal albums are Metallica and Avenged Sevenfold. I think they're the two biggest.
They released an album?
The Avenged Sevenfold album?
I'm not doing a hipster thing. I just literally didn't know that Avenged Sevenfold released an album.
You have a experience in front of you if you want to check that one out. Carlo, did you listen to the Avenged Sevenfold album?
I actually like the Avenged Sevenfold.
Do you want to tell Eden what it sounds like?
It's like experimental rock where they've thought, since the Gates has gone, I think I'm Frank Zappa now. There's some weird sojourns down some instrumental rabbit holes. There's some cool electronics thrown in. One of the songs sounds like Daft Punk, basically. The one problem though is M Shadow's vocals on some of the lighter moments. It's not that his performance is bad. bad, I don't think. It's just that his voice doesn't suit the style that he's trying to sing in. And so that can be a bit grating. But that aside, I actually think it's quite good, and kudos to them for taking a risk like that.
It's an interesting album for sure, and like they're trying to make like hyper metal. They've come out and said we're really influenced by Kanye West, which there's no real Kanye West on this album, but that idea of kind of sampling production collage stuff. There's songs that go from like thrash into like hyper pop electro parts into show tune breaks in the middle of it. It's weird. I don't think it works very well, and I don't think, as crazy as the whole thing is as a whole, the individual sections I find are really rudimentary. And like there's a couple of Alice in Chains songs that are just Alice in Chains riffs. It's like you've taken that influence, but you haven't done anything with it. But that is one, I don't like it. I don't think it works. I think M Shadows is a major problem with it. Like there is a certain other podcast that has been raving about this album and comparing it to Faith No More's King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime, saying it's ahead of its time. It's this weird genre mashup, and I get
Ahead of
where they're
its
coming
time,
from.
just like the thing that's 40 years old or whatever.
Right. And my other problem with that is M Shadows is not the same kind of vocalist as Mike Patton. I think there is a qualitative difference between them. I think he is awful. But yeah, that is an interesting album that I have found myself going back to just out of like morbid curiosity. And like, I do appreciate that they've done something wild. Like, for me, it's a miss, but at least they took a swing. The Metallica album is abysmal. It is just, I don't know. And it's showing up in all these big publication lists because it has to, but it's so much worse than Sin Anger. It's got nothing to it. It's just a complete, like, I'm a little bit embarrassed for them to be putting this album out as like one of my favorite bands who I realize I'm wearing a Metallica shirt right now. So, but regardless of how we feel about it, they're sort of the two big releases, and I don't know, neither one has really captured something like even the way Ghost has, or throughout Sleep Token before. That seems to be the, I guess, anointed mainstream band this year. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, to me, and maybe I'm just in this mood because I'm looking back at the decade and thinking about these things. It's just a matter of attunement. If you picked like a person off the street or not off the street, like off Facebook groups or whatever, and you asked them or them about this stuff, they'd have no idea what you're talking about. Like, anointed music, like who cares? I like Sleep Token. Sleep Token sounds good. It's what my friends are listening to, and I liked it. And I went to their show and I had fun. What I'm trying to say is, like, it's not that these. It's exactly the joke we made about time zones and like social constructs. It doesn't mean that these things are not true or not powerful or not important. It just means that our attempt to like essentialize them and try to derive from them like these big ideas about the scene and music and the state of art or whatever is kind of moot because it's all about the story that you weave. You can weave a story of decline, right? And you can weave a story of a bad year or whatever. But you can also weave a story of like a bunch of internet metal nerds who have completely spoiled their ability to enjoy mainstream music by overspecializing their ears. And so both stories are correct, right? But then I think capping the year becomes more an exercise in like, what story do I want to tell rather than what is true, what is correct? I'm saying this mostly to myself, by the way, because I used to be the poster boy for that. That's kind of like what I did for the blog, right? Like, write these long form essays analyzing trends, blah, blah, blah. And now I look back at it, I'm like, you were wrong about everything. Every single thing you said was wrong. Not the stuff like, you know, the things that I wrote about the occult and science fiction. That's all good because that was just about, you know, an aspect of the art. But all the trend analysis, I was completely wrong. If you go back to 2016 and you read the stuff that I wrote about where metal is going and what we're doing. No, none of it happened. I was just telling a story. So I'm less inclined today to keep telling those stories and believe in them too much because I know that in 5 years, I'll be looking back and I'm like, you had no idea what you were talking about. Yeah, that's how it feels to me. Sorry if I'm like raining on your parade, but that's
Oh,
kind
no,
of like
that's
the mood
fine.
that I'm in. Yeah.
I mean, these are all just opinions and perspectives, but yeah,
Yeah,
I guess
for sure.
the in summation, the mainstream story this year, I think, has been uneventful.
Yeah, I agree. There's no
It's
narrative. There's no clear like mainstream narrative arising this year from releases.
Okay. Carlo, anything to add before we get into our actual album of the year countdowns?
Let's jump into it.
All right. So we wanted to do a top 15, but Eden and I want to do a top 25. So what we're going to do is we'll do a round where each of us give our honorable mentions, and this can be up to 10. So you can do 25 to 16 or less if you want. And just give the album, give like a sentence or two summary, do them all at once, and then after that, if the other two have something to say about some of the albums, they can jump in rather than going through them one by one. Who wants to kick us off?
I'll do it.
Okay.
The problem is now I have to rank my 25 to know which one of the 10s are honorable mentions. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to like randomly select albums to honorably mention instead of putting on the list. So the first one, Moonlight Sorcery, Horned Lord of the Thorn Castle. One sentence. What if black metal, but the solos were power metal? That's it. And then the second one that I'm going to do is, damn, this is actually difficult. Form Joy. Form Joy, Form Joy. What if hardcore but vaporwave? That's the one sentence description of that. It's actually really good. It's really fucking good. If you're listening to this and it sounds ridiculous, it's not. It's really, really good. Go listen to that. And then we have Contemporary Noise Ensemble, an excellent spiritual serviceman. There's no what if but that for this one. It's just really, really good jazz fusion. So if anybody here listening is a jazz fan, this is phenomenal stuff. Really technical, but also very approachable and really interesting and with a lot of samples and really good stuff in there. Owl, Geomancy, really good guys from California, I think. It's very like a California album, like doom and heavy metal and stoner, like Iron Maiden references, and then Black Sabbath and a bunch of other really cool stuff. Super good album. What am I at? That was the fourth one or the fifth one, something like that. So six honorable mention. Ice Age, Waves of Loss and Power. If anybody out there still has patience for like middle of the road progressive rock from the 80s, you know, like Marillion, Transatlantic, Flower Kings, all that stuff, this album is for you. Maybe there's like one other person listening who loves this stuff as much as I do. Listen to this album. It's very good. Like mid-era Rush. That's kind of like the vibe that we're going for here. So that was six. Seven, Nebulae Come Sweet, De Lumiere. Really good post-metal, like atmospheric stuff. Kind of like, damn, what's the name? Latitudes from the UK. Latitudes, The Ocean, that sort of vibe. Very, very good. What's the other guys? Hypnos with a five. So Nebulae Come Sweet, I like Hypnos. With a five. Two more albums. Megaton Sword, Might and Power. I mean, it's called Megaton Sword. You know what it sounds like. It's power metal. It's power heavy metal. Very good. Muscular. Think less like frilly solos and more like really kick-ass and in-your-face riffs. Last one. Damn. Flourishing Scourge. A Flourishing Scourge self-titled album. Progressive death metal. Like, but with a capital P, capital D, capital M. Like what progressive death metal sounds like when you think about progressive death metal. Very good. Very surprising. Maybe in the honorable mentions because it's a bit too long, mm-hmm. bit too long, too long-winded. But when it's going, it's going. I think that was 10.
I think so. And if not, you can have a bonus one in the actual 15.
Yeah, I can cheat.
Uh-huh. Carlo, do you want to go next? Oh, yeah, no, wait. So, do we want to say anything about Eden's releases? Because I do. Do you?
I don't think I've heard any of them other than Hypnos with a five. So,
and they weren't on the list. I was just referencing them.
You were comparing them to Nebulae Come Sweet.
Nebulae Come Sweet, yeah.
The one that I think I want to back. I want to jump in and say yes. That album is really, really good. Like awesome, yeah. Progressive post metal. I sort of forgot about it after it came out. And then you put it on the list, and I was like, oh yeah, that album. That album is great, and it is better than all the albums on my list, probably. If you want to be cool about it. So that
also
one,
fully back. Fantastic cover art. Fantastic
yes.
cover. Yeah.
So that one gets my backing as well. And yeah, lots of other cool stuff in there, but we'll move on to Carlo.
So I'll go with three honorable mentions,
mm-hmm.
Covet and Catharsis. So just fun, bright new prog, then Hypnos with a five and Sheol. So it's not as good as Shores of the Abstract Line, which is
there. But what is?
Yeah. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal album. But I think this is a return to form. I think it's better than what they've released in the interim. So I'm optimistic about them. And August Burns Red with Death Below. If you've listened to them before, it's exactly what you expect it's going to be. It's just them doing the tech metalcore thing that they do better than most others.
Anything to add to that, Eden?
Yeah, I mean, Hypnos with a five. God, it's just the stupidest name, isn't it?
That should just be their five, whole name.
Yeah, yeah. The five is instead of the S, instead, in case you're listening and you can't visualize that. It's not like a five at the end. Like Carlos said, like Shores of the Abstract Line is such a good album that it kind of like destroyed their career after it, because the other albums they released are fine, I think. But that one is just so good. And I agree that Sheol is like the first one posted that has that like spark or like the potential to be as good as Shores of the Abstract Line. August Burns Red is so fun. It's just a fun album. Like you said, it sounds like August Burns Red, but sometimes that's what you want, right?
Yeah.
You want that like kind of like upbeat, very dynamic, lots of momentum kind of thing that they've done since forever. And they're the best at it, like the best, number one at what they do. So that's also, yeah, I agree. It's a very good album.
Yeah, that should be the one of those that I like. But for whatever reason, the August Burns Red album just didn't grab me that much. I mean, their last couple have sort of dropped off a bit for me, but they seem to come in waves. Like, they got some albums I like, some albums I don't, but they all sound the same and I don't know what the difference is between them. But the one of those that when I was listening to, like, because you guys told me what's going to be on your list but not in what order they're in, when I was listening to all these albums, the one I hadn't heard previously was Covet, which is a new prog album. Doesn't seem like it's going to be my thing at all, and I think it's great. As far as that good new album prog stuff goes, like, that's one of the best ones I was going to say heard recently, but given that I don't listen to much new prog, like maybe ever, that is a really cool album, and I am very thankful to Color for bringing it to my attention.
What I love about it is new prog is in this bad place that a lot of progressive music gets to, which is they're not actually breaking from the mold, they just replace the mold with their own mold, right? Everything sounds the same. But Yvette Young, who's now the heart of Covet, right, the original members left, she's the only one who stayed, she just thinks about compositions in a different way, right? Nothing on there sounds like, you won't find any like synth guitar unisons running the same scales for the millionth time like on other new prog stuff. Like, she actually thinks about composition. That's what makes it so unique.
Yeah, it's a cool one that I'm going to go back to when I want like that kind of chill prog sound. All right, yep. My honorable mentions, of which there will be 10 of them. Number 25, I have overly wrought earnest indie pop from Spanish Love Songs with Haunted. I don't know why I like this, but I do. It sort of dropped off a bit for me over the year, but I listened to it a lot and look, it's really good. So there we go. Number 24, I have King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Petro Dragonic Apocalypse and the rest of it. Just one of the best stoner thrash rock albums I've heard in a while. 23, Sleep Token, Take Me Back to Eden. This album has grown on me a lot every time I go back to it. I think there's something there and they've improved immensely. Speaking of huge improvements, 22, I have Unprocessed with And Everything in Between, a band I think I like even more than Color these days. Just a huge leap in quality from them. Backed at number 21, I have A Flourishing Scourge with Sick and Seed. This album is maybe the best like musical album of the year. I'm just so impressed by it. The one problem for me is not the length, it's that I forget everything about it the moment it's over. I'm like, it sounded like Earth. I don't know. Number 20, Magnus Carlsen's Free Fall with Hunt the Flame. This is the primal beer guitarist, songwriter, solo AOR supergroup album. Every song is a winner, just fun, awesome heavy metal. On the same vein, at number 19, I have Lordy with Screamwriters Guild, which is a hair metal, AOR, heavy metal, like wasp style 80s heavy metal horror show. It's for no one else but me, but it is so for me. Speaking of things that are for me, number 18, Psilosis, A Sign of Things to Come. Just Psilosis sounding like Psilosis. It's maybe the weakest Psilosis album since the debut, and it still rules. I love that band. 17, I have The Anchorette with It All Begins with Loneliness, along the same lines as A Flourishing Scourge, awesome Opethian prog metal. This one I think is a bit too long, but really impressive debut that I look forward to following up with that band. And rounding us out at number 16, an album I had a lot higher just because of how much I enjoyed it, but I did drop down because I think it's kind of derivative and not as interesting to talk about as some other stuff. But I have Shadows with Out for Blood, which this is a band from Chile, who sound exactly like Merciful Fate, to the point where like the last song on their album is called Alyssa rather than Melissa. They sound like Merciful Fate, except played by 80s era Ozzy Osbourne, and I fucking love it. Like, I put this on and my hand just shot up, horns did not come down until the album finished to smash the replay button. I've listened to this album so much this year. It's a lot of fun. So those are my honorable mentions. Thoughts?
Yeah, I want to mention Unprocessed. I think it just came a little late in the year for me to really dig into it. I have been listening to it over the last few weeks, and it's very good. I don't think it's a step up for them as much as they finally went back to what made them good, which is the mix between the lighter stuff and the heavier stuff. The albums, the few recent albums worked really well as singles, right? They had like these poppy hooks. And it was all the light stuff, and it worked really well when you just want, you know, the pretty melodies and the vocals or whatever. But as an album, this is the first one where they benefit again from that contrast that they used to have, which I think is a really good move. Yeah, it's a very good album. Very, very good.
Yeah, I loved Artificial Void. That was when I first came into them. And then I think this sits sort of somewhere between that and Gold. And
all right.
So yeah, step back in the right direction.
Yeah, for me, like it's gone, it's heavier. Like the last album was really soft, and then this one, they've really cranked up the heaviness. But yeah, I think think it gets that balance right. And the other thing it does is the previous ones were a lot start stop. Here's the heavy part, and then we stop and we do a soft part, and here's the heavy part. This one feels a lot more integrated and coherent to me.
My main criticism is whoever produced it and decided to make that first note really loud. The album starts with this like shushing, right? And they did it super loud on purpose, and it gives me a jump scare whenever I listen to it because I forget and I don't turn down my volume, and it destroys my ears. And like, I get the artistic statement, but also fuck you for doing that.
Okay, I haven't noticed that, but maybe I haven't been listening to it loud enough.
Yeah,
it's all very right. Loud. Now we're gonna get into the proper top 15. So we'll start going one album at a time, back and forth. I'm a dirty structuralist, so mine are rigidly ranked. I spent a lot of time thinking about wherever an album goes. So I've got a proper 15 to number one. But if you guys just want to be a little more loose with it, you are welcome to. But we are going to follow the structure of the idea is these albums are getting better as we go.
Maybe. I don't promise that.
For me.
For you. Yeah.
I haven't attained Eden's post-structuralist enlightenment yet. There is a historical narrative and I will identify it. All right. Do we want to go in the same order, Eden? Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to kick us off with a controversial one that I know you don't agree with, Josh. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with Green Lung's This Hidden Land. So there's two Green Lungs, right? I think that's fair to say. There's one more psychedelic, more progressive, more like atmospheric Green Lung. And then there's give me like a two chord riff that gallops and goes hard and the vocals are like over the top and epic and, you know, you ride into the sunset Green Lung. And the debut, I think, had an equal measure of both. And then the follow-up album to that, Black something.
Harvest,
something,
I think.
Yeah, Black Harvest was more the powerful riff kind of stoner. And this one tries to be a blend, but ends up going more in the atmospheric direction, especially once you cross the halfway mark on the album. Mm-hmm. It's like two different albums. And I adore it. I adore it because I always liked them for like the more psychedelic and atmospheric stuff they had. Like from the debut, my favorite tracks from Woodland Rites were like May Queen and that kind of stuff, right? Into the Wild, like the more melodic atmospheric stuff. And I liked Black Harvest. It's a good album, but I think This Heathen Land is their best, or at least the one that I most enjoyed. Again, the first half, Forest Church, Mountain Throne, Maxine, like more upbeat Green Lung. But then One for Sorrow is like such a good track, and it kind of kicks off the second half, which is very good. And it ends, this is the last thing I'll say, it ends with like this Oceans of Time, right? Which is like Green Lung doing full-on cheesy, I don't know, Jefferson Airplane almost, or like Let the Sunshine In, like this cheesy kind of bright hippie kind of rock. And it works super well. And I really, really, really enjoyed this album.
Hello?
That's it.
I enjoyed that as well. It didn't make my list, but I having liked Woodland Rites and not really liked Black Harvest,
what's this wrong was with a, you guys? That's a
step in. The Black Harvest enjoyer wants to say
I've logged on. Black Harvest is easily the best Green Lung album. You're all mental. This was a pretty big disappointment to me on first few listens. Just didn't do the Black Harvest thing again, which is all I really wanted from them. I've gone back to it a couple of times. It's grown on me, and I've come to the point where I kind of agree with everything you've said, like to a T, Eden. I just don't like it as much. Like, you're right, the second half becomes this like weird atmospheric album, like it completely shifts in tone. But the stuff on the first half, like it is continuing that stompy Black Sabbath trend. The problem with me with this album is the production is notably weaker than the first two. And I think that's deliberate. That's to give them that more authentic, atmospheric, classic tone to them. It just doesn't hit me as hard, which is what I want. And like, I was listening to it on Spotify the first time and I'm sort of getting bogged down in the atmospheric stuff at the end. And then when the album finishes, it threw on the whatever the first song on Black Harvest is, and it just hit like a truck. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. Like, I think if you ran this album through that production filter, I'd probably like it twice as much. But it is growing on me, and everyone else seems to agree with you guys. So that's my take.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, Carlo, what's your 15th favorite album of 2023?
The Zenith Passage with Dead Elysium. So if I was to sum it up in a sentence, it's Diet Archspire. So they're doing the Archspire thing. The vocals aren't obviously as crazy fast as what we see with Ollie. But I think musically, that's where they're pushing. Super fast, super technical, lots of groove, but still enough melody there to keep you hooked. So yeah, one of my favorite Tech Death releases of the year.
Yeah, if I can sneak in another honorable mention, this was my number 26. I swapped it out for whiny indie rock instead. But yeah, this is a sick Tech Death album. I like it way more than their first one. And I got
Agreed.
really into the Faceless this year, as for a band that aren't like new, but I was listening to. And yeah, this sounds to me like the sweet spot between was it what's the Earth one that everyone likes, and then Autotheism, which I've just love now. It's like somewhere in between there, where it's like super tech, but like leaning into that prog stuff. I like this album a lot.
And
I
they've
found
always been a
you
band
got
for me that sort of had potential, but just wasn't quite clicking, even though it's right in my wheelhouse. And this is the one where I feel like they've sort of arrived.
Yeah, going back to the narrative discussion, it's interesting. Like that style of tech death has kind of waned over the years, right? Like Arcspire hasn't released an album in a while. And they were really the banner holders. And then suddenly these guys came and said, we like this stuff as well. For me, it's a good album. It just leans a lot into referring to this style, right? Referring to Arcspire, referring to the Faceless and so on. And it's never been my favorite genre. So like a lot of parts, I hear them and I'm like, oh, this is for Carlo, right? Or this is for Senem, who's another big tech dev guy from the blog circles. But it's not talking to me, right? Which is totally fine. It's a really good album. Just at points, I'm like, okay, I get why this would appeal to someone else, but it doesn't like grab me where it's supposed to hit. If we to keep the thread going from Green Lung, the production on this album is fucking phenomenal. The production is very good. I would say it's even better than Arcspire because they really found the tones really click into like that dryness without losing the impact, the punch. Really good. Whoever produced this did like a phenomenal job. It sounds really good.
All right, backed. So my number 15, I have Pupil Slicer with Blossom. So this is they're from the UK, right? UK hardcore band, mathcore band, put out a debut a couple of years back that everyone went batty for, and I didn't really get. Like I thought it was a good album, but to me it was just another mathcore album. I was like, sure, but why this one? This is the album that to me goes, oh, these are the guys. It's way more diverse. And initially, I was a little bit disappointed with it because they put out a sort of alt rock single that's the title track from the album, but it's the last song in the album. And then, like, I really like that song, got the album. The rest of it is just mathcore again. I went, oh, I really just wanted an album full of songs or with more songs like this. But then, having gone back to it, I really warmed to the mathcore side of it as well. It's like, I think it's a cut above everyone else. And there is a lot more variation in there, a lot of post-medley stuff. And I thought people had kind of overlooked this album and forgotten about it, but it's been shown up on a bunch of lists, I think, including ours. And I'm sort of glad to see that this seems like another one that has got the stamp of, no, these guys are certified. These are the next big hardcore thing, and I'm on board with it this time.
Better than Code Orange for sure. I'm joking. Like the previous, like this is the next big thing in metalcore, whatever. I like these guys a lot. I think you're right that they're very hot right now. Like a lot of people are, signal boosting them, which is great because they're very good. They're very good. They just have the energy, right? You just believe them, right? A lot of these bands, they try to be heavy, they try to be chaotic, they try to be angry, and it kind of like rings hollow. And here it's like, no, yeah, these guys, like they really feel what they're doing. I really want to see them live. I
Yeah.
bet the live show is like mind blowing. So
I think they have a reputation for being kind of sloppy, is what I've heard.
I don't need
But
them to be accurate. I need them
kind
to
of
rock
too often.
hard. Yeah, I need them to party. I kind of think those shows, like I saw Callous Dowboys a few weeks ago. They were sloppy, but I didn't give a shit because they just went berserk, right? That's kind of like what I'm going for here.
Any thoughts on that one, Carlo?
I haven't listened to it, so we can
Yeah.
go straight back to it then.
Isn't that the Sleep Token album? I already talked about
It's my
that.
God damn it.
All right, take me back to
Oh
Eden with
man.
your number 14.
I gotta just pick an album at random because this is not ranked. Okay. I'll get this one out as well. This is an album that no one will have on the end of year lists except for people in Heavy Blog, and that is TB Project, Hourglass of Exile. So this is the definition of me being a dirty hipster and putting albums that no one knows on my list. These guys are tiny. The only reason I know that they exist is because the guy, it's a one-man project, prog, like bedroom project. But he's in another band with a guy who writes for Heavy Blog. The guy who writes for Heavy Blog sent me his album and he said, this album has Chris from Azure on the vocals. Azure are one of my favorite progressive metal bands that are currently in operation. Like everything that has Chris on it, Chris Samson, I'm going to listen to. and I was mind blown by what I heard. So if you're looking for if you're looking for this album to like surprise you or do anything like specifically new, you won't find it. This is like mid-era Devin Townsend Dream Theater prog metal, right? That's what it does. But it has Chris on vocals, and he's like one of my favorite vocalists, and he does such an absolutely fantastic job on this. And Taylor, TB stands for his first name and last name, Taylor, I don't remember his last name, did such an amazing job composing this album, producing it, writing it, like spearheading it and making it into something more than just a sum of its part. When I first heard this, I listened to Justice for like 4 weeks, just on repeat. Super good. Until Azure release another album, this is the new Azure album for me. Fantastic. If you really love progressive metal of that sort, you need to listen to this album. No one else is going to tell you to do so, just me. So if you're going to take one album from this list, I would rather it be this one, because I know I'm the only person who's going to send you there.
I thought you were going to tell me this was the, when you were saying it's someone at the blog and it's TB, I thought this was going to be the Trent Boss project.
No.
I thought I listened to all the albums on your list, but I am not recognizing this one at all, and it sounds like something I might enjoy. So I'm gonna go back to this one and see what I think, but I don't have any thoughts on it right now. Sounds cool.
Yeah. If you want like more touch points, the first line on the Bandcamp is the third release from TB Project, Hourglass of Exile, is a 77-minute gapless concept record inspired by Last Exile, which is an anime. So
right, I was more on board with the mid-period Dream Theater Devin Townsend comparisons, but we'll see how we go. Color thoughts?
I think I've listened to it once and I was just like, yep, sounds like Dream Theater.
So. Yeah.
I'm getting back into Dream Theater as well this year. Dream Theater and the Faceless. So I'll get into it. What's your 14 or 14th pick or however we're doing this, Color?
Number 14, we have Polaris with Fatalism. So Josh and I are from Australia, of course, our compatriots here, and very, very sad to hear of the passing of their guitarist this year as well. But I think this is a really, really strong metalcore album. They seem to be the next metalcore band that Australia sort of gets around. And so, yeah, wish them all the success.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, but like I really like The Death of Me, which is the release from 2020. And I remember you thought it was like inconsistent a bit.
Yeah.
Which I agree with. This one is way more consistent. I also really like this album. Like Carlos said, like such a tragic story. He was really young when he passed. Such a wasted talent, really like powerful guitar player. So I hope they can move past it and keep going, because this album shows a lot of growth, right? It shows a lot of, I don't like the word usually because it's used to condescend, but I'm not saying it in a condescending way here, a lot of maturation, right? Like digging deeper into what makes their music work and how to bring it forth and how to write it into a good album. I think it's shorter, or just the tracks are shorter, like there's less fat on the bone. Very good album.
Yeah, I liked the first album more than the second album, but I think they're both like, they're more of a songs band than an album band to me. But this is, I think, definitely their best album. I don't think it has their best songs on it, but it is the best album overall. And on that maturation thing, like, they still sound a lot like Architects, and they look like Architects. Like, the cover is the guy holding the animal's flare, and I'm like, guys, come on. Which I think August Burns Red had a cover like that as well, or so one of the bands did. But there's just more diversity, there's more consistency on this album. I think it's their best. The loss of Ryan, their guitarist, like a week before this came out or something, is like, that sucks in general, but looking at it, in terms of this album, like, he was something about them that made them stand out, like his guitar playing, like the lead single for this, I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was a new metal song where he just rips this awesome, like, shreddy solo in the middle of it. So if they're going to continue, I hope they can live up to that, because he set a really high standard. And this is another one that maybe if we'd push it out to like top 30 or something, might have squeaked in there. Good album. It's me. I was waiting for someone, but it's me. Okay. Number 14, I have The Lion's Daughter with Bathhouse. Not as weird as half the shit on Eden's list, but probably the weirdest thing on mine. This is... I mean, I think The Lion's Daughter were a band that you, Eden, started writing about way back when they were like a progressive black metal band. They are not that anymore. They went through like a weird industrial goth prog phase in the middle. And then now this album's like a sludge thrash album, which I'm on board with. I wish they'd done just sludge thrash the whole way through and it still would have been on this list. But instead, they go down this like weird and the Lovecraftian weird tone. I said this when I wrote it up for release day, but do you guys know the film The Void? Horror film from a few years back that's sort of like a tribute to, it's like Lovecraft by way of John Carpenter, with like practical effects and weird monsters and cults, and it's like a hospital cult. I think Bridget from the blog actually recommended it to me to watch when I was sick, and I really liked it. But listening to this album reminds me of that, where it's just like, this is weird, and then it gets weirder and weirder and kind of like dark and unsettling, but just still like that album's full of like explosive gore effects and big monster things and crazy techno backgrounds. And this has got that too, where it's just like fun and exhilarating, but also really unsettling. For me, this is their best album, and I am just really excited by this, but the next album won't sound anything like it, so who cares?
I was going to say, like, you never know what these guys are going to do next. And I really appreciate for them. I really appreciate that about them. Like, they have this dedication to doing whatever the fuck they want to do. And they're very good at everything they do. I'm talking about cycles. I'm in a year where I'm listening to more melodic stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of patience for like abrasiveness and, you know, not grayscale, but you know what I mean? Like drier tones. So this is an album that I appreciated. And like, I listened to it and I was like, yeah, Lion's Daughter, right? Like, they give no quarter and they don't care what anybody thinks. And I really appreciate it. But I didn't find myself going back and revisiting it just because it's not vibing with what I'm listening to at the moment.
See, I'm sort of along the same line. Like, I have really embraced the Don't Bore Us, Get to the Chorus philosophy of musical appreciation this year. but I find this album...
I just recommended a 77-minute album. I don't think...
well, that's me. That's cool. Well, I was going to say, like, the melodicism, like, the thing I remember about this album is there's a song called She Does Not Exist that has one of the biggest hooks on it. Like, I just walk around the house going, does not exist! I'm doing that. Like, I'm like, oh, that's that weird Lovecraftian thrash metal album. Carl, have you heard this one?
I haven't, because I thought, I know Lion's Daughter. They are too weird for me, so there's no need for me to listen to this. But it sounds like that's wrong and it's different, so I'll give it a crack.
All right. It is weird, but I do think it's more streamlined. It's more accessible than some of their other stuff that it's like going full prog. This is like got a real cool thrash core. Anyway, I'll shut up now and let Eden tell us what one of his albums, what he likes is.
Okay, let's keep the weird going and let's do Perspective. Perspective without an E at the end. If I'm not mistaken, I can never find this album on Bandcamp. I don't know who's suppressing it on the algorithm or whatever. But it's called Year One. And this guy, he's a weirdo. I mean, the description, he calls himself Cornwave. It has nothing to do with corn. Corn with a K, not with a C. I don't know why he chose, I don't know, maybe he's trying to ride like the new metal revival. This album is like early era Devin Townsend, right? So like metal and heavy stuff, but then weird ass electronics and stuff like that. But then it has like video game OST vibes on some of the what's the word I'm looking for? Like stitch tracks, like all the bridges and transitions into the other tracks suddenly become these 8-bit kind of gamey stuff. And then Lithium, which closes the album, is like this moody kind of Faith No More kind of vibe. It's really bonkers. And if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, which I don't blame you for because it goes places, it's not very long. It's not long at all, actually. It's like, I think, under 30 minutes or just above. Listen to just the run of Roman Winds, which is the sixth track, Roman Winds, into City in the Sky, into Baja Mindset. Just listen to that run. Okay. It's phenomenal. So if you also look at the cover art, it's like PlayStation 2 era graphics. That's what the album sounds like. Like the janky, weird, kind of electronic PS2 kind of vibes. It's very, very good and very hard to place. Has nothing to do with Cornwave. I don't know where he got that from, but it's phenomenal. Perspective, Year One.
Yeah, I did listen to this one, like, because of the list you gave me, and I don't remember it other than thinking it was super proggy, which sounds like I was on the right track. But I think a lot of what you've said just then might have unlocked it for me. Like, looking at the cover, it looks like Devin Townsend's Ocean Machine with the PlayStation 2 startup menu on the top of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So yeah, I'll go back. I'll check out those three songs you recommended because that sounds cool, but I don't really remember it.
Nice. So next up at number 13, I've got Immortal Guardian with Unite and Conquer.
Nice.
So I don't like power metal, but Age of Revolution, their 2018 release, just really connected with me. Aeolian is a fucking banger, like massive chorus to what you were saying earlier, Josh. And then even though I usually find sort of power metal vocals cheesy and the shreds a bit over the top, something about the way that they put it together just works for me. And I really did not like Psychosomatic, which came out a couple of years ago, because it was just talking about the pandemic and I didn't want to hear it. And I'm really glad to see that they're back to form here with Unite and Conquer. It's more of the same, but they just do it so well. And if they can make me like power metal, then it must be pretty good.
Hello, I can't believe you just lied to me like that. You say you don't like power metal. This is the most power metal album. This is as power metal as it gets. You love power metal.
It's so power metal that the guy who like is the heart of the band plays the guitars and the keyboards at the same time. This is how we first discovered this. Like, he was on YouTube. Noyen was the one who put me on this band. I'm a huge, not just power metal fan, but also neoclassical power metal, which is a lot of what these guys do, Symphony X and all that stuff. And I fully agree with your analysis, Carlo. Like, Aeolian is one of my favorite tracks. So good. And then, yeah, the one after it, it wasn't just about the pandemic. It was also like trying to like do these edgy things, not conservative, not like, you know, vaccination is a crime or whatever, but like open your mind and think about things yourself. And I'm like, guys, this is really not the tone that I'm looking for in my power metal. And then this new one is like them re-embracing like what they're about. They still have that kind of like social revolt kind of vibe to them. It's their thing. But here it's like more undertone-ish. I mean, there's nothing undertone about them. Like they only have overtones, right? Nothing is subtle. There's no subtext. There's only text. But they're very, 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 very good. And the vocalist, what's his name? Gabriel is the guy who plays the guitar. And the vocalist is phenomenal. Really, really good.
I don't know if I can get on board with the vocalist on this one. He's going for it. And I think he goes a bit too far at times. But no, like
Zema,
when I
Zema, that's his name. Zema.
When I stuck this in the release day thing, I tagged it as generic power metal, which was less to do with the music itself than that is an album by a band called Immortal Guardian, called what's it called? We Rise Again or something.
Unite and Conquer.
Unite and Conquer, and then the song was called Rise of the Phoenix. I'm like, that is just all the power metal words in one. But having said that, I do see why this band might stand out to you over others, Color, because yeah, there's that neoclassical thing, and I also think it's got like sort of modern, almost like semi-genty riffs. Like Symphony X as a reference is a good point. So there's a bit of an edge here that I think does overlap with what you're saying, but it's also, this is power metal as fuck. I think maybe you should just listen to more power metal. All right, who are we up to? Me again?
Yep.
13, yeah? No.
Unlucky yes. 13.
13. 13, I have what I think is maybe the best debut album of the year. That is, asterisk, not by an already established artist. I have Locust from the UK with their album Infidel. This band sound like a mix of Lamb of God, Gojira, and Chimera with occasional In Flames vocals and nothing else. There is nothing else to them. They are just that. But I love all those things, and they put them together, and like this would be, if this was a new Lamb of God album, a new Chimera album, a new Gojira album, like people would be raving about it. I'm raving about this one. This is sick. And I want more from these guys.
Yeah, I checked it out and I was like, yep, this is Josh music.
This is Josh metal. Yeah.
But it didn't really, like, I enjoyed it, but it didn't really connect with me.
Yes, there's not a lot of this music going around this year. So this really stood out there as well, where, you know, it has been a proggier year on the whole, I think. And then I was like, yes, riffs, let's go. Is Eden frozen or is he very still?
Oh, I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah, my internet has been being finicky.
Anything to say about Locust and Infidel? I liked the riffs. Carlo didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing its thing, right? If you wanted to listen to that thing, if you want like groovy, over the top, really chunky metal, then you'll really enjoy this. I'm just like, I don't know, I've listened to too much Gojira in my career. I'm done with this kind of vibe. Okay. They're very good at that vibe. Just that vibe no longer attracts me. So it's a good album, but again, just not doesn't speak to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this gets extra points for me as well as being a debut. It's like, okay, you're like, this isn't the best Lamb of God album, but I think it's on par with some of the stuff they've done. And for a new band to be putting that out, I think is quite impressive. Eden, what have you found impressive?
So I'm gonna go, I don't know why these two albums are linked. Like, this next album doesn't sound a lot like Perspective, but there are some, I don't know, similarities maybe in aesthetic. I'm gonna go with Mohini Day's self-titled album.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Steve Vai gets on a bus and then the bus crashes into like an R&B big band ensemble, and what's his face, Ron Bumblefoot, the guitarist, he's there for some reason. He's always there, right? Like, he's shredding on his guitar or whatever. And and then Marco Miniman is there, and Guthrie Govan, and like a bunch, like, what the hell? This is like fusion writ large. You have heavy stuff in there. You have like legit heavy tracks that call back to, you know, like technical thrash and stuff like that. And then, but then you also have like a totally slap bass focused track. You have Konikol, which is an Indian way to keep rhythm with vocals. It's bonkers. And throughout it all, there's like Mohini, she plays the bass. She's from Mumbai. She plays the bass, and like her dedication to like rhythm and really, really strong groove and understanding of rhythm. So there's no like parts that are progressive just to be progressive, right? It's all tying into like the groove and the vibe of the album. It's so good. And she's obviously really well connected, right? Like she's in the industry and knows all these people, but I've never heard her name. It's kind of like Jacob Collier, right? Like this wunderkind that comes out of nowhere, knows every single person, collaborates with Herbie Hancock. Same thing here. Like, again, those names that I mentioned are on the album, like Ron Bumblefoot Tal, Guthrie Govan, Marco Miniman, and then people we don't know but are super important, like Narada Michael Walden. I don't know if you know who this is. He's a drummer. He formed Mahavishnu Orchestra and he played with Jeff Beck and like really heavy hitters. He was in Journey, I think. He played live with them at some point. Like crazy. So if you're looking for really groovy stuff, but which is also very musical, like very composed, very intelligent, very, thinks about what it's doing, this is the one for you. I can't get enough of this album. It's so fun and like joyful to listen to.
Yeah, I agree with everything you've said, but I also feel like you've buried the lead pretty hard there, Aiden, because this isn't Steve Vai Gets on a Bus. This is Steve Vai Gets on a Bass. This is an instrumental like bass jazz fusion album funk thing. This is better than anything on my list. I saw this. I saw it. Someone posted it on the Discord and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like a week before I was putting my list together and then you put it on your list and I listened to it. I'm like, well, my entire list is invalid because clearly this is like the best album of the year. This is so good. I love this.
Extremely good.
Yeah. You heard this one, Carlo?
I have not. So
Eden and I recommend you do.
I've just added that to the list. So
yeah, it's instrumental. Yeah. Sorry.
It has some fusion. Vocals. It has some vocals on like one or two tracks, but yeah, it's mostly instrumental, but you won't notice it. It like goes by so fast. Very good. Extremely good.
This album's sick. All right. What have you heard then, Carlo?
Next, I've got Jesse Ware and That Feels Good. So
hang on, let me dim the lights for a second.
You mentioned earlier that there hasn't been any pop standing out for you this year. Well, this is the pop that stood out for me. Love Jesse Ware's previous album, and I love this one slightly less, but I still love it a lot. She came and performed at a music festival a couple of weeks back, and she was really good as well. Great sort of sultry, funky pop. Very, very memorable. It's what, I like it.
Yeah, Color, as with Eden, I think you've buried the lead on this one as well, because I made my joke about dimming the lights, because this is a sexy sex album. This is... This is just a whole album of disco funk, like adult contemporary, with a woman telling you where to touch her in various places and when and how. It's very good. I stand by my there's been no good pop albums, because I don't know if I'd really count this as a, when I talk about pop, like mainstream pop album. Like this is more like, disco adult contemporary sort of thing, which, it's pop, not rock. This is very cool. If I'd known she was playing the other week after I'd listened to this album, because I only listened to it yesterday, I probably would have gone and checked that out. I'd never heard of her before, and if you reckon her last album's even better, I might go back to that. This is cool.
It's very Janelle Monae, or Kimbra. Kimbra is the other touch point. And you said it well, Carlo, like soulful, tinged with like R&B, disco vibes, kind of. But I do agree with Josh as well, like very toned down, dim the lights kind of vibe. She has a very good voice. I think that's one of the main things that like carry this album. The instruments are also good and the production is good, but the real highlight is like her voice is very, very interesting to listen to. Like the timbre is very good. Another one that's not my thing, but like I can really appreciate, she's very good at what she does.
Yeah, you mentioned Janelle.
Oh, sorry. Then just remember, it feels good.
Feels good.
It feels good.
All right. This did it for me way more than the Janelle Monae album, which I found personally pretty disappointing. So
yeah,
this
likewise.
Is the good version of that for me. I always forget when it's my turn. At number 12, I have an album that I know isn't on either of your lists, and I'm a little bit shocked because Eden was raving about it during the early half of the year, and I just have to assume Carlo hasn't heard this because this is Carlo Core as fuck. This is Pronostic with Chaotic Upheaval, the best tech death album of the year. This sounds like Obscura, but like more 90s proggy leading stuff. That's about the beginning and the end of it. It's tech death, proggy tech death done to the highest standard. My one complaint is the first song should be the last song, and that's about all I've got.
Number 26 for me.
Oh, sure. There we go. It's yours, Zenith Passage.
I mean, I spent the first half of this year after I got the promo listening to this. If I do a collage like of all my listening, it's always in the first row because I listen to so much of it. It's very, 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 very good. However, it's also very one thing, mm-hmm. right? It does one thing. It doesn't like break the mold. It doesn't push any envelopes, which is fine. They're very good at what they do. But as I listen to it, I kind of like, you know, kind of got over it a bit.
Okay.
But it's still extremely good. And I agree with you that it's the Tech Def album of the year.
Well, yep. First time I've heard about it. So
you gotta read the blog, man.
No one reads
Eden
the blog.
And I wrote it about it like three times.
No one reads the blog.
Why am I writing for it, Eden? Because I can't help myself.
Turn. Yep. You can't help yourself. Let's see how many recommendations I can do that are weird. I think I have like five or six of them left. So let's just keep going with that. Victory Over the Sun, Dance You Monster to My Soft Song. I don't know if I'll say that this is the weirdest one that I've put on this list so far, but it's pretty much, it's up there. If you're not familiar with Victory Over the Sun, we've covered Vivian's work several times on the blog. Her previous releases were a lot more microtonal. So think Jute Geit is like the touch point. Nowhere from 2021 was extremely microtonal. This one moves a bit away from the microtonal stuff and more into progressive black metal. It is extremely fucking good. And I'm going to say something controversial here. After I heard this, people are going batshit for the new Panopticon album released last week. Everybody's talking about it. I listened to it today and I'm like, how can you say this is good black metal in the same year that you have the Victory Over the Sun and Exulensis, which is also on my list, who did folk black better than Panopticon. But like, this is black metal from 2050. Right? That's what this sounds like. And by the way, there's a note on the album. This album does not use any microtonal tunings. So she moved away from that entirely, but it's still so arresting and interesting and experimental. Last thing, it also has like a hat trick because it was produced and features Aki from Dreamwell and A Constant Knowledge of Death, which is also on my list. And she's a personal friend of mine and also a phenomenal producer. She produced this at New House Studios, which is a really good studio. And the artwork was done by Helvetica Blank, which is one of my favorite contemporary artists working in like design. My phone background, my desktop background is like Helvetica Blank artwork. And when I saw this, I was like, match made in heaven. And all three of them are either non-binary, gender non-conforming, trans women, and so on. So like, it's really, really phenomenal to see them getting the recognition that they deserve as really good and phenomenal artists. And it's been just like a pleasure to, you know, support them and see them go really from strength to strength. The previous albums were good, but this is, I think, Vivian's best work yet. And if you want something really challenging and really experimental and kind of like hard to listen to, then this is the album that I would recommend.
Yeah, I put it on for the first time yesterday and I got halfway through the first song and I was like, okay, I need to make time to just listen to this, not while I'm working. But it looked super cool. So I'm looking forward to diving into that one.
Yeah, well, that sounds super awesome. I bounced off this album so hard. This is the complete opposite end of my taste. I like Locust because they sound like Lamb of God. So I am not cool enough for this album. I'm sorry, but this is one where there's other ones where I'm like, oh, I want to go back to that or whatever. This one I'm just like, nah, I can't.
No,
this isn't grabbing me.
Well, speaking Fair of enough. Liking Lamb of God, I'm about to say something that I didn't think I would ever say again, and that is In Flames is on an end of year list of mine. It has been 15 years since In Flames released an album I like, but they've actually gone and done it just after everyone left because they didn't like not being able to make the old music anymore. They decided to make the old music with all the new personnel. So big return to form for me from In Flames. Really, like, I don't think this is objectively a fantastic album, but for many of our generation, they were a formative band, a gateway band, and just those first three songs, the nostalgia is just charging. And so once at the end of track three, I'm so hyped that I don't even care what comes after that. I love it.
Yeah, I think In Flames is an interesting one. Again, if I say this enough times, someone's gonna, I don't know, drone strike me. Like, I only like their first album. Such a shitty thing to say, but it's, in this case, it's true.
Especially when Colony exists.
Yeah, no, I recognize that the other albums are good. I just don't like them. this one is, yeah, It's in flames. I would rather listen to this than any of the new shit they've done, which is awful. At least this is like, I don't know why it took them so long and why they had to kick everyone out before they went back to do this. I don't know. It's clearly what they're good at. So what they're good for, because it's not them, right? So they're not good at it because obviously they weren't necessary. But something about the In Flames name just lends itself to decent and well-made melodef, which this is what this is.
Yeah, saying this is like, it's good because it sounds like In Flames seems like the faintest of praise, but like, it's been so long. And this album's a huge return to form. I do think the opening stuff and the singles are a lot better than sort of the rest of the album. I don't know if it works as a whole, like there are definite standouts. And the other thing that sort of drags it back for me is like there's still some weird vocal processing on Anders' vocals, like a bit of auto-tunage that makes him sound really compressed. But I saw them live at the start of this year when they played, I think, was it Knotfest or whatever? And they were one of the best bands of the day. And they played a bunch off this, but a bunch of old stuff as well. And they were incredible. I saw In Flames back when they were still making good music and they weren't very good live. They were on fire this time. Anders' vocals, without all that processing, sounded so much better, matched the music better. It sounded so much more natural and more, just lively. And also, as they walked down stage, Chris Broderick's on guitar. And I went, that makes perfect sense. That fills in. That's why In Flames are good now. They're playing with Creator in a few months, and I might go to that. I should probably go to that. That sounds like a bit of me. This album's good. As is another old band who haven't gone In Flame style with complete abominations. Just I found their last couple albums lacking, but they are back on fine form with an album that I think might be the best of their entire career, and that is Suffocation with Hymns from the Apocrypha. There's Going Hard, and then there's this album. This is brutal AF. This is just, like, I kind of want to say it's just death metal, but it's everything death metal. Like, it's super brutal, it's super technical, but all just crammed into this. Like, this makes that new Cannibal Corpse album that came out this year look like one of the four cats that's running around in my background and flopping on their back. This is so hard, but I also think like so advanced. And this is another situation where there's like one not even original member, but one long-standing member. Like, only the guitarist is left from the classic Suffocation lineup. But this to me feels like the culmination and arguably like pinnacle of their career. I think this stands along with like all of their classic albums. Obviously not as revolutionary, but just in terms of sheer quality. If you want death metal, this is the album, I think, from this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's also what I have to say about it. This is certainly death metal.
it is.
not my style of death metal, but Suffocation are one of the OGs, right? One of the mainstays of the genre. If you like that, then this is a very, very good album. But if you're looking for something more than that, then it's not here. And it's like very flagrantly not here, right? They're like, no, go away. We don't take kindly to your like here. Only riffs, only blast beats, only gutturals. It's good for what it is, but it's only what it is.
Yep, I've said it before, I'll say it again. When it comes to death metal, no prefix, no interest from my side.
You like that Bloodbath album from last year, and that got knocked out of my top 25 for last year by a Carly Rae Jepsen album. This album's way better.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to steal that from you, Carlo. No prefix, no interest. That's good.
Okay. It's hyper brutal tech death. Come on. Anyway, on to Eden.
I'm just going to go from Victory Over the Sun. I already mentioned Aki from A Constant Knowledge of Death. So I'm just going to do A Constant Knowledge of Death's Dissecting a One-Winged Bird. I don't know why I decided this album was self-titled, and a bunch of my lists show it as self-titled. Like, I even put it in the blogs, like, list as self-titled. I don't know what my brain decided to do, but that's not the name of the album. The name of the album is Dissecting a One-Winged Bird. These guys, so if you don't know, there's like a lot of history here for me. I covered their album from 2016 for the blog Organic Emotions. They were doing like scintillating post-metal rock. And then in 2019, they released four albums, each one of them written by a different member of the band in a different genre. And they were all very good. But the best one was Impermanence, which was really heavy and industrial and death metal-y. And now Dissecting a One-Winged Bird, which I hope is the album that finally gets them the recognition that they deserve, is 100% their best album. It is caustic, abrasive, heavy, sludge, progressive death metal, black noise, a bunch of stuff on here. It has a killer guest list. So Haley from Thoughtcrime, and then KZ from Dreamwell, and a million other people, including me, by the way, on guest vocals.
Oh, cool.
Track 7, You Can't Hear Me. I was sick when I was recording it. And I was yelling into the microphone, and I suck at that, but they put me in the back just to say that I'm on here. And if you go to Bandcamp, it says special thank you to Eden. So whatever, ethics in music journalism. I don't give a shit. These guys are friends of mine, and they make sick fucking music. And this is their best work yet. And super heavy and super good. So go and check them out. They deserve a lot more recognition than what they're getting so far. But this one is potentially like putting them on the map, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, I've tried with this album a couple of times because I feel like this one, unlike, what was the last one you did?
Victory Over the Sun.
Victory. Unlike that one where I'm just like, yeah, this isn't for me. This one feels like it is for me. I'm just not in the right headspace for it this year. But I think like there's such high quality there. And you saying they came from an industrial background, like that's another piece of the puzzle that sort of clicks in pace for me in terms of the overall tone of it. This is one I'm going to go back to, but just hasn't caught me this year.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it, but that sounds cool.
It's a very dark album, right? You need to be in a very like depressed almost mind state to listen to it. It's very angry and like pouring its heart out on the microphone, so you have to be in that space.
So at number 10 I have Bury Tomorrow with The Seventh Son. So every year I feel like there's one album that's a basic bitch album, really, but there's just something about it that clicks and that gets in my groove in my workday, for example, where I can just be super productive listening to it on repeat. And this year it was Bury Tomorrow with The Seventh Son, just melodic metalcore. There's nothing really that stands out about it compared to other melodic metalcore albums, but it's just, yeah, really hit the spot for me. Great sort of consistent tempo throughout. And they're a band that sort of dropped off the radar for me. I like some of their earlier stuff and then sort of lost track. And returning to them now, the one big difference I've noticed is the quality of the harsh vocals has really stepped up, and there's some really cool vocal patterns on this. So yeah, that's my number 10.
What's on that one, Aiden?
Well, I'm trying to remember the name of that band that, again, melodic, like metalcore. Ah, damn, they sound really like this. Really like heavy block core band. Had that cover art where it's white and there's a guy holding his chest and like his heart is purple. Whatever, I'll find it. This sounds like melodic metalcore from that era, like the end of the, not the previous decade, the decade before that. We're fucking old in case you've forgotten. Like that moment of melodic metalcore, like era was starting out, ERRA, all those kind of vibes. Yeah, it's the thing about this genre is like it all sounds the same to me, but it sounds good, right? It's like bouncy, exactly. It's like upbeat, like gets you pumped. We used to call it genre you're moshing. That was how we did it on the blog. We just posted one of these tracks and said you're moshing. So that's kind of what this album does. I feel again very unapologetic about it, but god, I have to find this fucking band now. You keep going, I'll find
and
it.
And the cover sounds like In Flames Come Clarity. That's what you're describing.
Misery Signals. Misery Signals.
Oh yeah,
Misery Signals. So this is very, very, very Misery Signals. It's not its heart. It's of Malice and the Magnum Heart, right?
Yeah.
So the cover is this guy stretched out and his heart is like, there's a knife in it. This is very Misery Signals, which is a very high compliment. Misery Signals fucking rule. So
I love Misery Signals. I don't think this sounds very Misery Signals-ish. This is like more in the Killswitch Engage lineage to me. I'm the metalcore guy. Carlo, why do I not like this band? Why are they a bane of my like music existence? I'm going in on this one. Bury Tomorrow, I don't get at all, and just everyone else, even Eden likes them. So I feel like the problem is me, but they put out a new album every couple of years. Like they're pretty regular and people rave about it. They go, metalcore's trash, but Bury Tomorrow are good. And I listen to it and I go, no, metalcore's good, Bury Tomorrow are trash. What is going on here? I used to call them John Mayercore because they had their clean vocalist had this really breathy affected thing that I didn't like. He's gone because I think he was like a weird COVID conspiracy nut or something. They kicked him out, got a new guy, which is I think made them a bit more generic, but I do think it works better. Like I agree that this is much better than their last album, which was completely forgettable. Like I thought they just lost it, but I still think to me this album is really generic, and like
yeah.
I want to hear what everyone else is hearing, but I don't.
Well, I don't think we're trying to tell you it's not generic. Like I'm not trying to sell you on this. It's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
It's something that has just hit the spot for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's this one and not one of the 30 others that sounds exactly the same. But yeah, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Yeah, but I thought I was done with them, and then you put them on your list, and I was like, okay, I'll go listen to Bury Tomorrow again. Elena, the standout song on this album's Bolt Cutter. And they scream yep. it like it's the hardest thing. Cutting bolts is not hard, guys. That's not it. No, I feel like I'm the problem with this one, but you're not a fan. Me. What do I like instead? Have I got a cool pick? Oh, I do have a cool pick for number 10. Number 10, I have Catatonia with Sky Void of Stars. This is the best Catatonia album in like probably a decade. Whenever Night is the New Day came out, I think that's the last
Yo,
one of theirs.
I always forget that you're like a Night is a New Day enjoyer,
That's the
which
one
is
for me.
it's a very good album.
The stuff after it that a lot of people, including yourself, liked a lot, I still thought it was good, but sort of went in a different direction that I was less interested in. City Burials was cool, but none of the songs were as good as the Behind the Blood or whatever that awesome song with the ripping guitar at the start is. This album for me is a huge return to form. I think this gets on the podium. I think this gets on the podium with Night is a New Day and Great Cold Distance. It's in the top four or five at least. Just Catatonia doing Catatonia, but doing Catatonia than they've done in ages. And Jonas Renske is the man. I've never said his name out loud, so that's probably not how you say it, but his voice is sublime, and this is one of the best performances of his career. What is this doing not on your list, Eden?
So, listen, I just saw Catatonia live like a few weeks ago, and they put on such a good show. By the way, they played Forsaken from Night is a New Day,
Fuck yeah, they did.
and they fucking killed it. And Jonas, I love Jonas. I interviewed him like a few months ago. He's a really nice guy, really intelligent guy. I feel like the least annoying person from that like Swedish death metal scene. Not the most talented, I would say. You know, you have Mikael and all those guys, but he's always seemed like the most down-to-earth person, and he's talented in many ways. He's a good producer, good lyricist, good vocalist, just a really good guy. And I love this album. I really, really do. It's like 27th or 28th. I didn't actually rank my list, but I'm giving you like the neighborhood of where the album is. It's just like, for me, I listen to Catatonia for the heavy emotional hitters. And I didn't feel like this album had enough of them. It has some of them, like when he goes engineer of the colossal shade. That's such a good like sentence and a way to think about depression and what it does to a person, right? But I couldn't quote any other part of this album. Whereas from Dead End Kings or from Night is the New Day or any of those albums, I definitely can. Again, very good album. Just kind of left me with a taste for more and more cohesion.
What about the bit where he says all the numbers? I didn't get you because it got me. She's like 9, 7, 2. I could literally listen to that guy sing the phone book. Let's go.
To me, he has the ultimate sort of progressive metal clean vocal. Like his voice is just unparalleled for me. It's so smooth. I can't get enough of it. And so this was my number four album.
You could talk about it more then.
That's all right. It's all right. It's just Catatonia doing Catatonia things, but they do that thing so much better than anyone else that tries. Love it.
I think I've run out of like really bizarre. I know I have one more. I have one more. This is a split. This is a split, which is usually I never even put on my lists because it just feels like, I don't know, it feels wrong for some reason. But this one is so good that I just went ahead and did it. This is Dream Unending and Worm, Starpath. Dream Unending was one of those bands that everybody was raving about for like the last, I don't know, 3 years, I think was when they first arrived on the scene. They're like a super group, I think. I don't remember. They have like members from a bunch of different bands. And they make this kind of like very atmospheric and theatrical sort of like death metal doom kind of thing. And then Worm make this kind of like ethereal funeral doom, really heavy, drawn out, but then also death metal and death doom and stuff like that. And Starpath just sees both bands doing their thing really, really well. And also, there's on first listen, it doesn't sound like there's any overlap. Like there's a clear halfway mark. Dream Unending, sorry, ends, unlike their name, and Worm begins. But then when you listen to it more, you start to hear like all the different influences and, you know, callbacks and stuff like that. The Dream Unending part, I think, is better. And because it's better, it's like one of my favorite three tracks of the year. It's so good. It's so emotional. It even has like what has to be a callback to Opeth. It's like almost a quote of like some stuff from Watershed. Very fucking good. Very, very good release. I can't get enough of it. I absolutely adore it.
This is cool. This is not my thing at all, like progressive doom sort of stuff, but I think this is good. And for me, it's the Worm side that stands out, mostly because I got those
Interesting.
tasty licks. But Like, there's been a lot of doom this year, a lot of proggy doom, and I think the Worm half of this is the best of it. I think we're going to hear about some more later on, but this has stood out to me. Not my thing, so not threatening my list at all, but like I heard this and went, oh yeah, like this is the good version of this. How are you guys doing for time and stuff? Do we need a break or anything?
I gotta tell you that I'm a bit sick.
Okay.
So I'm starting to feel it. But I think we should just keep going and try to get through it.
Okay. All right. Color. Let's go.
So number 9, get your helmets on, get in the spaceship because we are going exogalactic with Soth.
Hell yeah.
This is in quite a departure from every year since I've sort of solidly gotten into music and been compiling lists. It's the first year where I only have one artist new to me on my end of year list, and it's these guys. So I've not gotten into Zoth before, but really love the energy that they bring on this record. Just space death metal done right, but the energy is what stands out to me most.
You have to listen to Interdimensional Invocations from 2019. Like, Interdimensional Invocations was, I know some people who swear by that album, myself included, and we've been waiting so long for Exogalactic, right? It sounds silly, 4 years is not that long, but Interdimensional Invocations was so good. This is again like what if death metal, but it was power metal actually, but done so right. It has that, I know it's a cliche, but it has that death energy, the band,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. It's the most death. There's been a lot of bands in the last 5 years who've tried to do death but modern, and these guys fucking nail it because they take the progressive death things, not the genre, the progressive parts of death's career, and they blow them up and they power metal them up and they add like a lot of heavy metal. And you're right, the energy, it just bounces from track to track, from riff to riff. Really, really good album. Probably if I were to rank my list, would be in my top 5. So this is like one of my top slots. You'll skip me and we'll just say it's Soth and then we'll move on. It's really, really good.
Yeah, this is a good album. It reminds me a lot more of mid-period Carcass than like death or power metal or any of the other stuff that's thrown out. Like this is, to me, is Carcass in space, which is great. I fucking love Carcass. Like I think this album's really good, but yeah, more along like even the Black Dahlia Murder, that more like harder, nastier side of Melodeath, came out the same day as the Suffocation album, and I think that's way better, but it's not in space, so what are you going to do?
Space is the place.
That's true. Look, if the next Suffocation album's in space, I'm here for it. all right, my number 9, which you guys are going to have nothing to say about, is the 69 Eyes with the Death of Darkness, a band that I didn't think would get anywhere near any of my lists, let alone this high. This is a, where are they from? Are they Finnish or Swedish? Scandinavian. They're a, yeah, goth rock band. Like they used to hang out with him and they were the other band, but they sound more like Sisters of Mercy with that deeper voice and things. Never cared for them. This album came out, I was going through a huge goth phase earlier in the year, which we'll talk about later, but, and this just came at the right time. I've listened to this album so much this year. And there's another album that came out this year by a band called Creeper from the UK that's getting a whole bunch of praise, where they went full goth glam. And look, some of the best songs of the year are on that album. But those songs are really good. And the rest of the album, I think, is try hard trash. This album is consistent from the start to the end, just solid goth glam bangers. And each one goes a little bit harder. Call Me Snake is so cool. I love this album and it's made me a big fan of them and their last album too. They're really leaning into that sort of like more hard rock glamier side of them. So I've got a lot out of this album.
Yeah, I think goth has like the dubious honor of being one of the only subgenres that I've never been able to get into. Like I've tried to listen to Draconian so many times.
Paradise Lost. And I'm always like, or the band.
Yeah, Paradise Lost. Yeah, yeah. There's a band called Draconian as well, right? Okay. Which is like the big, one of the big goth metal bands. Just not my thing. Same thing here. Like these guys obviously know what they're doing. And correct me if I'm wrong, like seminal, right? They're like a classic goth kind of band. And it shows, it's just not something that I go for.
Yeah,
not for color. All right. What is for you, Ian?
Okay, let's take things in like a different direction than what I've done so far. Okay, let's get the cat out of the bag. And let's talk about King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Petro Dragonic Apocalypse, or Dawn of Eternal Night and Annihilation of Planet Earth and the Beginning of Merciless Damnation.
All right, the
album
that
most... bye. See ya. That's it. the album that most fucked up my spreadsheets for the voting for the end of year list, because all the semicolons and the commas fucked with my spreadsheets. I don't like King Gizzard. Boomer opinion, they release too many albums. They should release less albums. I think, being serious for a second, I think they've in the past suffered from a lack of editorial control, right? They just release shit instead of saying, maybe this doesn't need to be released. And I also didn't like, what's the previous thrash one?
Infest the Rat's Nest?
Infest the Rat's Nest. I also didn't like that. It's good. I just didn't like it. This one is fantastic. And it's not a surprise that I like it because I'm a sucker for psychedelic thrash rock kind of vibes. I honestly think it's the best thing that King Gizzard have ever done, and it's literally the only album of theirs that I like. They've already released another one and I didn't like it, The Silver Cord. So I'm chalking this to like a one-time thing, but that's fine because I really, really, really like this album. Just has a lot of what I think is missing from the rest of the work, which is energy, focus, momentum, drive. It goes places, right? It does things, and it does them really, really well. And also it's funny to hear them scream, Gilla, 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 Monster, over and over again. It's one of my favorite parts of the album. If you've, like me, written off King Gizzard, then try this one. It's a bit different and I think better than the rest of their stuff.
Well, I'm exactly in that camp. I have a friend who just is obsessed with anything that they release and is like, oh, this time it's different. Listen. And every
time it's a different strain, bro. I swear. Yeah.
And this one I listened and it started and I was like, wow, this is actually great. Maybe I do actually like this album. But then I found, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth song in. And it just felt like the same song again and again, with the exception of Gilla. And so that sort of soured my view a little bit on it.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. Like, this was one of my honorable mentions. So clearly I like this album, but the reason why it dropped down to, like, you know, being at the lower end, I think it was like, you know, 23 or something, is that sort of sameness, repetitiveness. Like, they are deliberately bringing back phrases and refrains from different songs, which makes the album fun, but there is sort of, it is a one note, one song album, but that song is fucking good.
Fair enough.
All right, what have you got for us, Carlo?
Sulfur Eon, Seven Crowns and Seven Seals. So been around for a while, but this is the first time where I've really gotten on board. Just super cool sort of cosmic darkness sort of vibes. Almost like Revocation from a couple albums back, when they had like The Thing That Consumes All, or whatever that super, super good song was. So yeah, there's sort of progressive parts, blackened parts. This is, yeah, one of my favorite death metal albums of the year.
Yeah, I like this album a lot too. Sorry, we both waited and jumped in.
No, go for it.
Yeah, this is cool. I like it. It came out the same day as the Lion's Daughter album, so that one kind of pipped it for me and meant this one fell to the back, but I like this album a lot, and I think it's like, I liked their previous records a lot, and I think this one's way better. This is a very good, very good album.
I would have liked this more 2 or 3 years ago, which is more of a testament to like my mood. I don't know, it felt too samey to me in certain ways. Not that the songs necessarily are all the same, but they kind of go for the same kind of vibe. Very aggressive, very over the top, very in your face. So it ended up kind of like blending together. But when I did focus back in and I looked at individual parts that kind of caught my ear, they're very good. There's like a bit like 11 minutes or so in, which is very In Flames. It's like very melodic and like over the top, which I really liked. So definitely good. Just again, not really the mind space that I've been in for a few years now. Right? Like not really what I go for.
All right. Something I go for is maybe not the best metal album of the year, but the most metal album of the year by a mile. At number 8, I have Primal Fear with Code Red, the German Judas Priest. Now, big asterisk next to this album because there is a song called Cancel Culture that is the cringiest thing that's maybe ever been committed to record, but it's also just like dumb heavy metal fluff. Like the lyrics mean nothing, which is all part of the cancel culture thing. But I was like, oh, and then I listened. I'm like, yeah, you guys don't. You're just rambling about political correctness gone wrong. It's fine. There was something else I was going to say about it. Oh, yeah. But then just the problem is that song fucking owns though. Like, it's such a good heavy metal song. But as are every other song on this album. Like, this sounds like the best Judas Priest album. Like, the new one that's coming out next year has got a lot to live up to. This is awesome. And every song, like, it's so consistent. Because the thing is, the first half of the album that's full of the singles, it's got the Cancel Culture song on it. It's great. And then the second half, they do a hard reset and they do it all again, including a big epic thing that's better than and isn't about cancel culture that just makes it redundant anyway. So you're like, it's called like The Gods Failed or something. You got songs buried at like track 9 or something is Steel Melter, which would absolutely be a classic Judas Priest song that they would put in all their sets for years. This album owns, and I'm here for like big catchy melodic heavy metal, and they delivered this year.
Yeah, I just rather listen to Iron Maiden. Or
Did
like
you listen
Judas
to last Iron Maiden album?
No. What last album? Iron Maiden made Brave New World, and then they all mysteriously vanished off the face of the earth and never made music again.
Oh, I'll take Dance of Death, but
Dance of Death is, you know what? I'll give you Dance of Death, okay? Yeah, but that's it. but I'd rather just like put that on, or like put Judas Priest on, or put Edguy, by the way, is the band that I thought of when I was listening to Primal Fear. Again, the old stuff, not whatever Tobias is doing these days. So yeah, I mean, it's good. They're very good. The vocalist is super good. But yeah, it's
I agree
like,
that this album is not as good as Brave New World. I think it's probably as good as Firepower.
Good as Brave New World?
Not much. Carlo got not an much. Opinion about this one?
Just echoing Eden's thoughts. Yeah, I'd rather just listen to Maiden or Priest.
You guys are wrong. Aiden, what's next?
what's next? Okay, let's go with Ahab, the Coral Tombs. I mean, this is an Ahab record, right? So if you've ever heard an Ahab record, you kind of know what to expect here, which is super crushing funeral doom. Thing is,
Boring metal.
Boring, yeah. If you like it fast, don't listen to this. The thing is, there's a bunch of people who like this band who are wrong and think that the album from 2015, The Boats of the Glencarrig, is a bad album because they went into more like a progressive, melodic kind of direction. And they're wrong because it's a very good release. And I was very happy with Coral Tombs because this is Ahab saying, no, you guys are wrong. Like, this is good. This is what we want to do. This is what we like. So it kind of continues that even more boring, if you don't like slow music trend, because there's a lot of like quiet passages and more atmosphere and so on. But then the heavy stuff hits you so much fucking harder. Again, if you're tuned to this kind of like molasses slow, super guttural vocals. But if you do like that stuff, then there's a reason these guys are like credited with basically founding the genre. They're extremely, extremely good at what they do. And this album is phenomenal. Again, for what it does funeral doom and that's it. But it does it very well.
I'd rather listen to Brave New World.
Fair enough. No. Also, these guys, I had a shirt. I think I lost it in the move. I need to reorder it. It said Ahab and it said all harpoonists are bastards. So I need to get that shirt again. It's very good.
Shockingly, I am an Ahab fan. They are the Spanish love songs of funeral doom for me. And I liked like their first two albums, I think are the best two funeral doom albums. And then they went proggy. And I don't think those albums are as good, but they're more interesting. For me, though, this was the first major disappointment of the year. Like this, when I put this on, it just did nothing for me. And to me, it feels like they've dropped that progressive part entirely and just gone back to like rudimentary, big, long funeral doom, which is fine because those first two albums do that. But this one's not clicking for me. Like I've been back to it a bunch because you and other people have been raving about it. But for me, it feels really slow and tedious. It's not grabbing me the way their other albums did, which yeah, is an actual disappointment because I like this band. I like this previous albums, but it's not clicking. And I feel like I'm the problem because everyone else loves it. Except for Carlo.
So at number 7, I've got perhaps controversial Code Orange with The Above. So Code Orange, another band I should like, but 2020's Underneath came out of nowhere to become my album of the year. I did not care about them at all prior to that. It's not really my genre, but it just hit the spot. Cold Metal Place is still one of my favorite songs. And I think they're a little more scattered and it doesn't quite work as well this time around. But it's still got enough of the vibe that it landed on my list.
Do you want to go in?
No, yeah, no comment. Yeah,
you had your comment earlier, right?
Yeah. I feel about these guys.
I've had my comment as well. I wrote a very long in-depth review about this album where I came down pretty mixed on it. But I do like this album. I don't love this album. I think it's a mess. And I think a lot of the experimentation they've brought in with the more alt rock leaning stuff doesn't always fit or work. But I am so happy they've made it. And I am so excited to see what they do with this on the next album. Because like, if I was going to talk about biggest disappointments of the year, and I don't think we have time, but for me, it's just the entire hardcore genre as a whole this year has been such a bummer to me, because for year Code Orange like first really, really blew up. Like I know they had I Am King earlier, but Forever in 2017 and everyone, oh, industrial hardcore, and then all these hardcore albums came out that were just mimicking that. And then Code Orange made Underneath and put them all to shame. And all the other hardcore bands are still trying to catch up to Forever. And Code Orange are two albums and like five different genres further on, which whether you like it or not, they're out here doing this and every other band is still playing catch up. Like, I don't know. They're exciting. This album is exciting, even if I don't know if it's necessarily good. My turn. All right. We are getting serious now. This is top seven. At some point over the year, every single one of these albums has been in my number one album of the year slot. So this is the real stuff that I think is going to stick with me for a long time. And I'm going to kick it off with Urn and A Feast on Sorrow.
Hell yeah.
UK thrash band. This is their second album. The first album, I can't remember what year it came out, but what was that called? Blood and Serpent, of Serpent and Blood.
Yeah,
something like that. More proggy, more sludgy, a lot more varied. Felt like they were lashing out in different directions. This album, they've worked out what sticks, what they're good at, and focused in on that. And what they're good at is fucking riffs. This is just an absolute onslaught of huge stonking riffs. Like, it reminds me so much of The Blackening and just that riff salad approach with these like 10-minute long epics. And like, this is an album about dementia and things. It's like really wrought and heartfelt. Like, I think the weakest part of their sound is maybe the vocals and just that they're not that varied. It is this sort of one shouty register, but there is so much emotion coming through in those lyrics and things. And yeah, this was number one in my list for a long time because I love thrash metal. Obviously, it's dropped down quite a bit, but that is because like, this is their second album. Like, I think there's so much more in the tank for these guys and they're already making albums this good. Yeah, this is the best like pure thrash album in like a while, like probably since the last Sepultura album, which is a few years ago now. This is sick.
Yeah, this album was also recorded at the Silver Cold Studios, which is Gojira's studio. Mm-hmm. And Duplantier kind of took these guys under his wing and even got Mario from Gojira to play on the album.
Oh, I didn't know he was actually on it.
I think he played some of the drums and helped them record the drums at Silver Cord, of course. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, right? Like, their sound is now bigger and fuller and kind of has that Gojira presence to it, although this, it doesn't sound like Gojira. I kind of liked, it was called Spirit and Something, the previous one. Serpent and Spirit.
Serpent and Spirit, there we go.
This one is also very good. I premiered it on the blog and I had a really good time doing it. I liked that kind of like proggy heavy metal kind of vibe that they had. But this thrashy thing is also very good. And I think it really benefited from the Gojira kind of like brush stroke, right? To bring that sound up into where it ended up being. It's a good album.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But nothing about it really stuck with me after I finished listening to it. So I haven't really come back to it much. But when it's been, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it makes sense for sure. Okay. So number six, you made me rank it. I don't like that. Let's do Resin with Solace. Another boring album. If I'm on the roll with Ahab, let's go with Resin. I saw these guys playing with Lord Buffalo and Elder in Boston like a month or so ago. It was so fucking good. And they played live really, really, really well. So this is your, again, middle of the road, kind of like nothing new. Progressive, doom, stoner. These guys listen to a lot of Elder and were like, hey, that's cool. But it's less dynamic and prog rock than Elder, more heavy, crushing kind of doom. I love the vocalist. The vocalist has a phenomenal voice, like a 70s, even 60s kind of sweet vibe on his voice. And these guys just write like a mean ass riff. And again, they were so good live. Yeah, if you don't like doom, don't listen to this. There's nothing here for you. If you don't like it low and slow and heavy with feedback, there's nothing like, you know, different or from other genres here. It's just that, but it's done extremely well. So if you do like that stuff, then this is a very good album.
I mean, I'm not a doom guy and I listened to this and I thought it was pretty good. So maybe even if you don't like doom,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, this one jumped out to me as that style done well.
Surprisingly, I even agree with that. Yeah.
Hey, there we go.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So not so boring metal after all. What do you got for us, Color?
So it's The Ocean and Holocene.
Boring metal.
So at this point, The Ocean can release anything and it's probably going to land on my list. Like, I just love them that much. They are yet to release an album that I do not enjoy. Now, is this as good as Pelagial or Phanerozoic One, which were both albums of the year for me? Absolutely not. But I still think it's strong in its own right. I like the addition of the more electronic elements on the last few albums, and they sort of dive a bit deeper onto that here. The the one part that sort of jars with me is the guest spot. They're the Karin Park, a female vocalist, and she's a good vocalist. Her voice just isn't for me. And so that aside, yeah, it's the ocean doing the ocean things, but with more electronics. So I like it.
Probably my disappointment of the year. I was really looking forward to this album because, again, I've also loved everything they've done, even if it wasn't Pelagial level of goodness. And I also really liked, I can never say the name right, the Phanerozoic one. Phanerozoic 2 was also not that good in my eyes. Holocene, I don't know. They're not an electronic band, right? Like I listen to a lot of like electronic post-metal and electronic post-rock and stuff like that, which is what they're trying to do here. And it didn't click for me. I agree, by the way, that Karin Park, the guest spot, I think her voice is fine actually, but the way they incorporated it into the sound didn't really click for me. So much of this album is the electronic part, and I find them kind of lackluster. So I wasn't able to really dig into it. I appreciate them for they're still going, right? They're still trying new things. They're not making Pelagial a million times, which they could have easily done.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
I'll have another Pelagio. I'll have it. I'll take
Oh, I see what you mean.
it.
I didn't mean quality wise. I meant style wise. Right? I don't think they can recreate that lightning in a bottle as far as the quality goes. But they could have done like mediocre albums in that style. But they didn't. They did other things. So if they miss every few albums, I'm fine with that. That's fine. It's just maybe not for me, or that doesn't jive with me. But I was pretty disappointed with this one.
Yeah, as was I. I mean, I made my boring metal joke, but this is. You can pretty much copy and paste everything I said about the Ahab album onto this album. I've just resigned myself to the fact that I only like every second Ocean album. But whereas, was it Phanerozoic 1, everyone was raving about and I didn't get it. And then I really liked part two. And then this one, it seems like it's been largely a muted response to the album. I think they've kind of missed with this. Like, I like the idea of the ocean going posty and electronic. I just don't think they've pulled it off here. It reminds me a lot of that Cult of Luna album that came out last year that everyone liked, and I was just like, I don't know, man. It's not doing it for me. But Carlo likes it. All right, number six. I've gone for the trendy pick with Tomb Mold and the Enduring Spirit. Proggy Prog Death. So if Prognostic was the Tech Death album of the year, I think this is the Prog Death album of the year for me. Tomb Mold are a band that I guess they first came out of that boomer metal kind of thing with the sloppy cavernous thing that I was never into. Then their last album had a bit of a progressive edge to it that I liked, but it still didn't fully grab me. And then I put this one on just sort of out of obligation, like this is a big name, I've got to check them out, and was just transfixed the entire time. And then when they go full prog on like track three or whatever it is, I was like, okay, I'm in. This album is stunning. It was number one for a lot of the year after it came out, and I've dropped it down here outside the top five. And that is just because, well, it just sounds like Cynic. Like, I don't think there's anything super original about this, but again, it's just done to such a huge level. And I think better than a lot of other bands who are out there trying to do the same sort of thing and not even coming close to this in terms of quality.
Yeah, this not being on my list is my mistake. Like,
Oh, good.
I mean, it's a very challenging album, and I just think like when it released, I had other things that I was like digging into or on my mind, and I couldn't give it the space that it needs, and it needs space, right? Like, you can't passively listen to this album unless you've heard it like 50 times and you know what's going on. So I just couldn't find a space for it, and then I forgot. I did a very human thing, and I just forgot about it. So it's high on my list of like things to fix from 2023. There's a bunch more albums that like I know are good, and I just didn't give them the time. So this being one of them, and it shall be corrected.
Right. This is actually my like background chill out album. That's what it's become.
I can see that.
Color, this
I was
one.
sort of echoing it, and like I struggled to listen to it passively, and I did give it a couple of active listens, and I really enjoyed the musicianship, but the vocals, it's not that the vocals are bad, they're exactly what you'd expect from a death metal release, but I just felt they were too monotone, too samey. I wanted a bit more variation in there to match all the dynamics that was taking place with the music underneath, and so that's sort of what holds it back for me, but I need to give it some more listens.
All right,
Top
back to you
five.
in. Yeah. So
Top
you're
five.
ranking them now. Is that what we're doing?
I don't have a choice. You forced me into it.
We have a ranking for the rest of the episode.
I'm joking. It's not my top five. It's just five more albums.
Okay.
Five more albums. Let's choose one. Let us choose Tesseract. Another sentence like Carlo Within Flames that I didn't think I would ever say is a Tesseract album is on my end of year list. I am a first two albums apologist. A lot of people are like, it's not cool to like Tesseract anymore, like Gent is over or whatever. I really still really like One and Altered State. I really like those albums. But then everything after Altered State, I don't like. It's not that it's bad. It's just too repetitive for me. And I've always wanted them to go one step further because, and this is hard for me to stress this enough, Dan Tompkins is the best vocalist in metal alive today when he wants to be, right? When he actually sings as well as he can, or Tesseract let him do the things that he can do with his voice, he is the best vocalist. And, you know, aside from my opinion, like, there's also a lot of stuff that he, you know, he's a teacher. He's just very instrumental in the entire scene, very, very central to its existence. And on this album, someone said, I don't know who, okay, Dan, go for it. Like, show us what you can do. He sounds absolutely insane on this album. Like, the highs, the way he goes from those highs to, like, raspy, kind of more internal kind of sounds, it's so fucking good. And then the rest of the band, it's surely Tesseract. Like, if I just gave you the instrumentals and I asked you to guess the band, you'd say it's Tesseract. You know, you have that, like, the bass parts that they love and the chuggy riffs and so on. But there's so much more than that, though. There's so much more connective tissue and growth and structure to these tracks. Again, I had written them off. I listened to this album only because Dan Wheaton, like blog adjacent, really, really cool guy. By the way, one of the best vocalists alive today. He just doesn't record because he has, you know, the perfectionist thing. He's like, even if you've slept on Tesseract and you don't like them anymore, listen to this album. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'll throw it on. And I was like, blown away. So, so good. Exactly what I wanted him to do after Altered State. Finally. Oh, it's called War of Being. I never said the name of the album. Also, it has a kick-ass video with Dan fighting like a future samurai or something. I don't know. It was pretty cool. The album's really good. Samurais aside.
I really love
it. Tell me that you didn't like it. Tell me that it's boring.
No, I really love it as well.
I'm joking.
And I first got into Tesseract when Polaris came out. So going back, I then fell in love with Altered State, and for me that was their best album. One I could never really mesh with. I think coming back to it, sort of having not listened to it at the time, the production sort of lets it down for me.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed all their records, and this is now the first time since Altered State that it would be a near album of the year worthy sort of type of release from them.
Are you going to talk about it later, or are you going to say where it is on your list now?
I'll reveal its rank later, but I won't talk about it.
Okay. Anyway. I hated this album when it came out. Hated it. This was going to be my North Lane for this year, but I think I blew that already on Bury Tomorrow. I couldn't stand this. Everyone was raving about it, and it was the same thing with every Tesseract album. They tell you, oh, it's their best since One, and it's, or whatever. The last album was crap, but this one's good. And I'm like, but you said the last album was really good. And I listened to it, and it just sounded so generic and just gent for gent, and all the songs were long, and I hated it, and I wrote it off. And I listened to it yesterday, and I was fucking wrong. This album is very, very good. I still don't think it's like one of my absolute favorite albums of this style, even. Like, Monuments are still very much my guys for this sort of thing. But I couldn't deny it. The quality was there and the performances were there. I do, like, my main criticism that I was feeling when I first heard it, I do think still stands. It's very bitty. It is, the album tries to be this big flow thing where one track leads into the other, but like, there's no progression for me between the individual sections. They do a big stonking gent riff, then they stop all of a sudden, and then Dan goes, and then they start again. There's like a soft bit for a minute, and then they do a heavy riff where not, they just do that riff for 2 minutes, and it's like that repeating through the whole record. But the bits are good. I do think you could cut the last three songs completely and just finish on the title track. Like, I think it's a bit long, but I'm wrong about this album. It is a good album. If you like gent, if you like tech metal, you should listen to this album. It is better than any other Tesseract album since One for me now. Okay, an album I like way more than this. is my number five.
It's my turn, mate.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We just did you.
Jumping the gun.
No, that was
Oh, no,
me.
Eden picked Tesseract. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, man.
So I'm going with Cattle Decapitation and Terracite. So Death Grind's done better than most anyone else that tries to give that genre a crack. I don't think it's as good as Death Atlas, but it still goes hard as fuck. It's still that same sort of vibe. The vocals are still doing the thing. And yeah, love it.
Yeah, it's certainly Cattle Decapitation. That's my opinion of this album. I never liked them. I mean, again, the credit where credit is due, right? Like one of the most important metal bands of all time, and for good reason, by the way. Super talented people. It's just not my thing. And there are another band on this list, which I think is interesting, that are just sticking to it. We don't care. Capital Decapitation, this is what we sound like. However, I do have to give them credit for the best worst cover art of the year. With the guy, the bug thing that's looking at you and has become like a heavy blog Discord emote. It's so bad that it's almost good. What? Who? I have so many
I
questions. I
mean, they
don't know
used
where
to
to
have
start.
albums with like guys crawling out of cows' butts and shit. Like, I think they're in
Yeah,
on
but
the joke.
whatever. But that's like. But this is not that. This is not gore. They used to do like gory kind of shit. This is just weird. Who is this creature? What does it want? Why is it does that it have that facial expression? So many questions.
I will echo Eden's thoughts, and this is sure is Cattle Decapitation. Though I happen to love Cattle Decapitation, they are, especially across the last three albums, like one of my favorite death metal bands. And apart from all the albums in my list, like this didn't make it for me. But I do think, yeah, they're doing the death grind thing better than everybody else. Like there's a bit of the Code Orange here where I just think they laid down Monument to Extinction and everything after, and every other band in the genre is still playing catch up. But I was a little bit disappointed, or this album just didn't stick with me because it does feel like a bit of a rehash at this point. I feel like they've done three albums in this style, and this one's really, really good. I'm just ready for them to switch it up. But as far as what this is another awesome Cattle Decapitation album. All right, is it actually my turn now?
It is.
All right, well, speaking of killer progressive gore grind, my number five is Hymn frontman Vili Vella's debut solo album, Neon Noir. Are either of you guys Hymn fans? I'm gonna guess no.
No.
No, you don't have a Heart of Graham tattoo hidden somewhere on your right butt cheek.
No.
Neither do
No.
I. I've always liked him. I never thought I was a huge Hymn fan. This is sort of an album of circumstance. This was the first album I heard from this year, in that we got the promo for it in like December of last year. Nothing else was coming out. Like this year, I've already got like five or six awesome albums that we've got promos for. Last year, I had this and nothing else for about 2 months, and I just rinsed it. I listened to this nonstop for like December, January into February. It's like gothy love songs, and I wouldn't like any other person doing this, but I love it when he does it. Like he's a really, what I've discovered, unique vocalist. Like I went looking for what other things sound like him after I got so into this album, and there isn't stuff. Like everyone says the 69 Eyes, which are a band that were in my top 10, but they sound like Sisters of Mercy and Typo Negative. This sounds like sensual, like it's that softer side of the goth thing. But then what sets him apart, that everyone else just imitates that soft side of him, he can really rip when he goes for it. Like he's got a bit of that hair metal rocking wailing edge to him. And these songs, as sappy and silly as they are, they're in my soul now. I love this album. I'm going to see him live in a couple of months, and I am pumped. So yeah, probably my most listened to album of the year by timing, but also has stuck with me for all 12 months since it was released.
I wanted to say this about the 69 Eyes, but I knew this album was on the list, so I kept it for this. I'd rather listen to Ulver doing this,
Yeah, that
right?
makes
I'd rather
sense.
listen to like the last Ulver albums. I don't know, that kind of like dark wave goth kind of vibe is not for me, unless it's Ulver. Yeah, that's about
No, I
sums it up
like
for
those
me.
last couple of Ulver albums. The problem with them though is they don't have a hair metal front man.
You just wanted an excuse to think about the Roman Empire.
Oh, true.
Wait, that's
Okay.
Ulver, not him. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
Cool.
exactly. Exactly. Number four. I should have marked what I've already spoken about because mine is not ranked. Wait. So I spoke about this. I spoke about this. Okay, I didn't speak about that. Sorry. Sorry for doing this live on air. Green Lung, Flashing Scotch. Soft. So we can skip mine. Mine is soft. Exogalactic. We already spoke about it. It's killer. The solos rock. We didn't say that. The solos are really good. Carlo.
We can skip mine as well because I had Catatonia and
Yes.
Scott Void of Stars. So over to you, Josh. Hit
Back to
us.
me for more shit that I don't think Eden's going to like this album, but I think Carlo might, or he should. I number four, I have Sermon with Of Golden Verse. I think this is their second album or something. I know they had at least one other. This is proggy Tool style prog, but I think on this album, mixed with a lot of heavier stuff, like there's a lot of Gojira in here, a lot of Killing Joke as well. But this is everything that last Tool album, which I did really like, should have been. This is everything Soen have been threatening to make for their entire career. Like this Tool-y strain of progressive metal, which as much as I like Tool, I don't really love their imitators. And this is the first one where I'm like, all right, you're doing it on the level. And with that heavier death metal, like there's a lot of Gojira style drumming and stomp in this as well. Yeah, really impressive prog album that I like.
I think we need a moratorium on people in metal bands wearing golden masks. I'm including Imperial Triumphant and all those guys in there. Just
Sleep
stop. We
Token.
get it. It looks cool. It looked like cool the first time someone did it 10 years ago. I really wanted to like this album. I feel like all the pieces are very good. It was just too, my problem with Tool, it was too repetitive. It was too like one notey, kind of droney to me. But again, the parts are good. Like the riffs are good. The vocals are good. I think their next album might be very good if they challenge kind of like their template and they introduce like more variants and stuff like that. I'm gonna really like them. This was almost good to me.
I haven't listened to it, but I will check it out. And sort of along those lines, speaking of Soen, I remember telling my friend, the new Soen album has a few bangers. The riff and production game strong, but probably not going to be list worthy, not consistent enough throughout. And he's just like, well, I think you've just described every Soen album.
No golden masks though
No golden
for
masks.
Soen.
They have like
Yeah,
gas masks on this new one or something.
maybe.
That was me, yes, sir. Back to you,
Yeah, it's
Eden.
my turn. Why do I
All
have
three.
five albums left on the list? Did we like skip a count?
Talk about them.
Whatever. Okay, let's throw a curveball. Let's talk about Mega Drive. So who the fuck cares about Synthwave anymore? No one, right? Synthwave is gone and dusted, and it had its like 2, 3 years where every single metalhead was like, no, dude, Perturbator is actually good, man, and all that shit. And most of those guys vanished, right? Like when I saw Catatonia, Ghost was opening for them, and that set was boring as hell. And people don't talk about him anymore or any of these guys. But there were always like two or three artists that were more than the hype. One of them was Mega Drive. The other one, by the way, is Dan Terminus. So I hope he releases a new album soon. This guy has really been sticking to kind of like the dark synth, cyber wave kind of vibe. Really dark, really, it's funny to say electronic, but kind of like that vibe, cyberpunky vibe. And now he released 200XAD, and it's so fucking good. Like he maintains the balance between the aggression and like repetitiveness that the style is known for, with a lot of really interesting ideas and interesting compositions. If you can't be bothered to listen to the whole thing because you don't like synthwave, like everybody else now except for me, just listen to the third track, Narc to the Power of Three. It's just you gotta love the track names. He has Shadow Dancer, Multipass, Black Katana, Metacurse, Nakatomi Night Assault. Like he's so dedicated to the aesthetic, which is really funny because the aesthetic is gone. Nobody cares about it anymore. Just listen to that track. It's very fucking good. So it's really nice to see someone who just like is staying the course, but is doing it in an interesting way. And I never thought that I would have another synthwave album on my top 25, especially not this high because you forced me to rank them. I'm not gonna let that go. It's very good. It's a very good album.
Yeah, I listened to this one. It was cool. It's like a good synthwave album. I've never been the biggest synthwave fan, but most synthwave albums I turn off halfway through. This one, I listened to the whole thing and I was like, yeah, cool. Like, I was never bored. I do want to stand up for my man Ghost, though, or Ghost. I assume that's who you were talking about
Ghost.
rather than the
Yeah,
Swedish
yeah,
Ghost.
yeah. No.
I really liked his last album where he went full goth,
You did?
and then he's got a new album coming next year that I'm looking forward to. So, but I am a non-synthwave fan, so I still don't count. But yeah, this is good. It's like you put it on instant hacker mode.
So my number three, we can scuttle along because it is Tesseract.
Right. So
Nice.
an album that is good, actually. I checked.
Can
All right, my
confirm.
number three. We're getting serious here. This is the album. Obviously, there are two others that I think are better than it. This is the album I am most passionate about. I can feel myself getting excited going to talk about. This is Unearthed with the Wretched, the Ruinous. fucking love Unearth. No one else cares about Unearth anymore, but Unearth are out here making the best albums of their career, and people should be talking about it. This is the second best, if not the best, Unearth album, and it's bumming me out how much this is being overlooked. Like, I get that metalcore isn't trendy or interesting to people anymore, but like, they were booked to play Damnation Festival or one of the festivals in the UK, but it was as a legacy thing. They were playing The Oncoming Storm in full, and like, that album's great, but it's not as good as this, and like, they're only getting credit for playing stuff from 20 years ago that is so, they've moved so far beyond to this. And also, when people are out here, like we talked about earlier, you know, official publications are saying, yeah, Metallica are still good, Metallica suck. And if you just want, they're the best band ever, but they're terrible. But if you want that just like straightforward, like thrashy metal, I don't know why you'd listen to that when this is out here. Like, the musicianship on this thing is insane. Like, it's just shredding and blasting the whole time. And I love it. I absolutely love it. The opening track, The Wretch, The Ruinous, is the best song of the year, and it'll beat up whatever other song you want to put in front of it.
I mean, it's certainly Unearth.
Yeah, it is.
It is, again, continuing with like the trend of bands sticking to their guns and just doing their thing. I do agree with you that like this is the best they've sounded in a long time. It feels reinvigorated. Feels like, and it's funny because they've been doing this for a long time now. And it's really interesting that all the previous Unearth albums I've heard, I just did it as a courtesy. And this, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't replay it, right? I listened to The Wretched and The Ruinous, but I was like, yeah, this is good. Like, if I was into this, I would like this. It's interesting to see them suddenly like bloom into this kind of energy. Good band for sure. Just metalcore, man. I don't know. Never been my thing.
I've not checked it out. I'm surprised you haven't been shouting at me to listen to
I
this.
read the blog. I've been shouting out this album to fucking everyone, man. This, yeah, I want to hear what you think about this compared to Bury Tomorrow once you've had a listen. Let's see how it holds up. All right, Eden, what are we up to? Top two now?
I still have three albums. Four. What's going on? Okay. Let's do Fires in the Distance. Air Not Meant for Us. These guys get the award of no one sounds like this. No one, right? This is melodic death metal plus doom, huh? How does that work? I don't know. I honestly, I can't even describe it. It's like death doom, like slow, big riffs, but then they have these very Paradise Lost. We already mentioned them, right? Like Paradise Lost synths on top of it, this gothic, dramatic kind of vibe on top of it. Like maybe Swallow the Sun is a bit of a touch point. I don't know. Just listen to the album. It's really hard to describe. It's very, very good. Their previous album, Echoes from Deep November, it was me and Scott talking about it. That's it. Nobody else wrote about these guys. And this one is really blowing up. A lot of people covered it, which is fantastic. It's better than the previous release. It's very, 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 very good and very unique, which is adds to my enjoyment of it.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing you talking about this as a doom album, because I didn't pick up on that. But like, if I go back to it and listen to it, thinking like, is this like Paradise Lost? Is this like Swallow the Sun? That might make it make more sense to me. To me, this reminded me more of something like, you know, the more recent Heaven Shall Burn albums, even, or like Edge of Sanity, that kind of mellow death, with that European sort of power metal influence to it. But the Doom thing's interesting. Carlo, have you heard this one?
I have not, no.
Good album,
So
but I kept wanting it to go faster, but now you're telling me the point is like it's
that's how you know
slow.
it's doom.
Yeah,
That's
so
how
I
you know
think
it's
that's I
doom.
gotta be like, oh, they're going slow deliberately. Okay.
Yeah,
All
that's how
right.
you know it's doom. If you're like, get to the point, then you know it's doom.
This is the point.
What's the point, Carlo? What have you got for us?
Ne Obliviscaris and Exul. So Shock Horror, a Ne Obliviscaris album in my top three. Who would have thunk it? But I really, really love this album. They're my favorite band. Quarterly and Citadel were my albums of the year when they came out. And it may have been at the time, retrospectively, it wouldn't be. I think is clearly their weakest album. Didn't I know, Josh, I think you have a different opinion.
Oh, you talk about Urn.
Yep.
That's the only one I like.
But I think Exul is a big bounce back. They've fixed the production issues that they had with Urn, where the drums just sounded weird. But the production on this is the best they've ever sounded. The clean vocals are the best they've ever been. He's improved a lot as a vocalist over the years. And I think they've struck the right balance of doing the thing. They sound like Ne Obliviscaris. They still have long songs with lots of repetition, but there's there's enough difference in, for me, it's the guitar playing. The leads on this are super cool and a different take on what they've done before. You can see some of the sort of gypsy jazz influences coming through, and the solo and the tapping in Equus is one of my favorite guitar moments of the last 5 years. Just, yeah, really love this album.
Why don't I like this fan color? What's wrong with me? Everything on it, like, I should love this. And I think the bass playing especially is fucking incredible on this album. Like, second best bass performance of the year behind Bohini Day. Like, it's so good, and I love how bass led it is.
First time that a Tino's on record with the band as well.
Yeah,
So
so
yeah,
here's a good
he's
thing. I agree about the production. Like, I didn't notice the lacking production on Urn. Like, that never bothered me. But I just listening to this album, it sounds so fucking good. It just They do not connect with me, and I've tried to diagnose this, and I think it is. It's that repetition thing, but also, like, there's a droniness to them. Like, they get into those hooks with the tremolo thing, and it's this long, drawn-out phrase that they repeat. And then the vocalists, you have one going, oh, and then you have one going, oh, and it just becomes this big drone. Like, I think it's that droniness that makes me bounce off them. I think that could be it, but in theory, I should love this album, man. It's, like, incredible just from a musicianship point of view.
I think I very much agree with your point about production. The mistake that they've always made is that their music is so busy and the production tried to highlight everything at once. Right, so it was always so hard to listen to, right? I would just get lost. And here they made some, they paid prices, right? They said, okay, in this part, the violin can't be as audible because Charles is already doing his clean vocal thing, right? So they can't sit in the same place in the mix. Something has to be quieter, right? And that allows the right things to shine through. The problem for me with Neu Lev Iscariz is they can never justify to me the length of their songs. Right? I listen to a lot of bands with a lot of long songs, but I always need it to be justified. Can't be long just to be long. And I feel like always halfway through the track, I'm like, you've said what you wanted to say, and that the track has done what it came here to do. And that was brilliant. You're very good musicians. But then they keep going. They always do, like, no, dude, just one more verse. And then when the stat verse is done, they're like, okay, actually, you know, I lied. Just one more verse. Okay, but I swear to God, this is the last one. And then they do another one and another one. I'm like, you know, the guy who won't get up and leave your house when you're done with, like, hanging out with him, that's Neu Lev Iscariz. Phenomenal musicians. I just feel like if they had more restraint, things would hit harder. It just gets lost, you know. What's more epic than the epicest epic thing you can find? At some point, it just kind of loses the punch. But if you just focus on the beat to beat, they're really unequaled, like, in skill and in how they sound. And I agree, the production is like chef's kiss. It's very well done.
I fully agree with that, like, too long song thing. But the payoff is you got to get to the big whoa part at the end. That's the best bit. But I wish they get there quicker. They also need more mosh calls. Like, the thing with the Unearth album is I can read through the track list and just everyone, I'm like, I'm not the militant. They need more of that. It's a good album. Who are we up to? Me. An album that I have recommended to you, Carlo, so you've got no excuse as to why this isn't on your list. I have The Ongoing Concept with Again. This is a band I've been aware of them, but never really interested in before. They first came to my attention with their first album called, I think it was Saloon, which was sort of like Western Every Time I Die, Let Live, that sort of thing it was being pitched as. Didn't really do it for me, forgot they existed. They came back with this album, which is called Again because it is them reimagining and reinterpreting their old songs. And all the songs are called, like, You Will Go Again.
Feel
So
again,
they had a song called You Will Go, and this is You Will Go Again. But they're not just, like, updated versions. Like, to me, there's bits and pieces here that when I listen to their old stuff, I go, oh, that's from there. But these sound like completely new songs to me. And this album is so much fun. This is, I think I sent you a message, Carlo, saying this sounds like Don Broco alert for the year. This is, like, cool party, like, I guess, like, from the hardcore side of things, but it's not that. It's not Unearth. This isn't, you know, brooding macho beat down hardcore. It's that, like, post-hardcore, like, this stuff. What's that band you liked from a few years back in, started with an S, Seder, maybe, like, jazzy sort of post-hardcore?
Not coming to me.
I think it was Seder or something like that. They remind me a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, kind of funk and soul stuff in here as well, but also just, like, sick riffs, big melodic choruses. This is my, like, feel good party album of the year, and very impressive, to, yeah, go back and reinterpret and make something out of it. So that is my number
I
two.
really like Feel Again. Feel Again is very, very good. And it's made me want to listen to the album more. I checked it out, like, yesterday or something to prepare for this. And I was like, this rocks. Like, this is just fun. So I need to dig into this album and see if it can be more than, just one single that makes me bop. But if you're looking for that, then this is probably an album for you. It's quite good.
I've not listened to this. So I do remember you hitting
Yeah.
me up, but it was at a time in my life where all I needed was Linkin Park and Architects, and then I forgot about
It doesn't
it.
sound like them, but yeah,
So.
like hardcore Don Broker. I think this is sort of the pitch. All right, for me, we're up to number one, but Eden, you've still got a few, you reckon. I can see two on your list that you haven't talked about. What have you got for us?
I can see I have three that like still highlighted. Let me just do the one. I'll do two
Yeah,
in
do
this
two, and
round,
then we can do
and then I'll
your
catch up, because
number
the
one.
first one is easier. Remember when I said that Panopticon was mid? This is why. This is an album by Exulensis, which are a very good American black metal band. They released two albums this year. One of them is a folk album, Hymns of Collapse, like full folk, not folk black metal. But the other one that I also good, but the other one I put on this list, which is phenomenal, is Overtures of Uprising. So that like Panopticon black metal plus violin, played by Andrea Morgan, who's a phenomenal vocal violinist. They also have Kevin from Dreadnought on bass. This album takes all the other like Falls of Raros, Panopticon, all these like Wolves in the Throne Room, and just throws them in the trash. I'm sure they would be pissed at me for saying that, because all those people are their friends and they play shows together, and like I don't mean it personally. It's just so fucking good. Like the promise of, black metal's harshness with the violin's delicacy and like, what's the one I'm looking for? Melodramatic somberness. That promise of that contrast is fully realized on this album. It's so good. It's so like heart-wrenchingly, soft and heavy at the same time. If you like that, listen to this. That's it. So now I'm caught up and I can spend some time talking about Store Train's Finitude. Store Train are from Switzerland, I want to say. And they've been one of my favorite all over the place tech death bands. They do tech death, but then they have folk and black metal and progressive rock and heavy metal and a bunch of other stuff thrown in. And their album from 2021, Impermanence, was one of my favorite 2021 releases. Infinitude is just as good. So this is kind of like the epicness of black metal with tech death's like furious progressiveness and just the amount of notes and so on. And with a lot of other stuff, like I said, folk and prog thrown in, but not in the way that you think about it, right? It doesn't sound like anything else. They also have ridiculous space track names like Xeno Chaos and Rise of the Insidious and all that stuff. This album is so fucking good. Like if you like death metal, prog death metal and technical stuff, you owe yourself to listen to this one. I didn't think that they would match Impermanence, and I still like Impermanence just a bit better, but this album is very, very good.
Nice. I prefer this one to Impermanence personally. But somewhat surprisingly, it's one of the few sort of tech death type of albums where I feel like it's too much all at once. And sort of going at 100 all the time, which is, someone who listens to Watchfire maybe a strange thing to say.
Yeah, this
Josh.
one, I agree. I think this is better than the last one. And also, Stortrain, you reckon? Not Stotrogen, as I've been thinking of them for,
I think so.
Hey, I learned from reading, guys. Yeah, this album's really good. Again, probably another one that would have made it on the list if we'd pushed out for a top 30 and done a 5-hour podcast. But I listened to a lot when it came out, and then it just sort of, fell away. But extremely impressive, cool prog death album. So you've only got one left, Eden.
Yep.
So we're doing with this is album of the year. Are you happy to label it that?
Sure. I'll
Okay.
bite the bullet.
Okay. What is your favorite album of 2023?
My favorite album of 2023 is also by an extremely underrated band that only I know about, and that's a damn shame because they're so good. Flesh of the Stars. These guys have been making really good post-metal doom for a long while, with Heavy Blog like the only blog singing in their praises. Anhela is one of my all-time favorite albums from 2017. It's so good. Mercy was more like it was cleaner and more melodramatic, also extremely good. And then The Glass Garden from this year, they went kind of faster at points. There's a lot of thrash in there, dotted and split up by the post-metal and the doom stuff. But they still kept their dedication to like really interesting and well-made synth tones and in general atmospheres. It's so good. It's good when it hits, when it goes, when it's heavy, when it's melancholic and contemplative. It's just as good. When it's synthy, when it's abrasive, it has it all. And these guys are really, really criminally underrated. And by the way, one small note, they're in Chicago, and I've always wanted to like go there or write like a piece about the Chicago scene, because it has so many excellent bands and people like don't really talk about it. You know, it's not, there's Brooklyn and there's Bay Area and all sorts of these like scenes, and people don't really talk about Chicago. So they have Flesh of the Stars, they have Out on the Sunlight, which is also another band that the blog really likes and I really like. And a bunch more bands besides that are very good. Immortal Build is from Chicago, and more and Flesh of the Stars continue that like tradition of excellent music from Chicago. And yeah, one of my, if not the favorite albums of the year for sure.
I did listen to this, but I don't remember it. I'm sitting here going, "Fuck, which one was this?" So I'm gonna have to go back and check it out. Sorry, I didn't have anything to
all
say.
All good. That's fine.
So my album of the year is Alkaloid and Newman.
Wow.
Why do you say that, Eden?
I think no, you go first and then I'll
yeah. Yeah, it's Carlos' turn. Come on, man. You tell us why you like it.
Sorry, yeah, I'm so sorry.
I feel like the response to this has been muted in comparison to the previous records, and that surprises me because I think this is top tier progressive death metal, on par with what they've done before. It hits you right from the off with Glyphosis. Like the main riff in that is probably my favorite riff of 2023. They've got the Cthulhu type songs, they've got the weird Super Mario guitar where Christian Munzner just goes whack. They've got the sort of what's the band I'm thinking of, like Liquid Anatomy or something, or Blooded something.
Science.
Yeah, Blooded Science. Where there's just crazy experimental instrumental stuff going on, and of course, as is now tradition, the long closer epic that just finishes everything on a high. So Alkaloid doing Alkaloid things, and they're to my mind still the progressive death metal band going around.
How mean can I be? I'll be the meanest I can be, actually.
You know how mean I was about Bury Tomorrow? A little bit less mean than that. That was probably too far.
Yeah, I'm not being mean to you, Carlo. I'm being mean to Alkaloid. For me, I was really hyped for this. I love Alkaloid. I love their previous albums a lot. And I would put their other albums in that like tier of some of the best progressive death metal ever made. This one, this is where I get mean, sounds like if I went to ChatGPT and I said, make me a progressive death metal album with Christian Musner on guitars and Hannes Grossmann on drums. You see what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like they've been captured by their own image, right? Like they're thinking too hard about what Alkaloid should sound like. And then they made an album trying to like thread that needle. It's not bad. It's not a bad album, but I almost prefer it to be bad, right? I almost prefer that they went like, you know what? We're doing folk rock now. Oh, we're doing progressive metal now. And they tried something else instead of, you know, the Morbid Angel joke gets a bit less funny when they do it like the 20th time. Like, we get that Swamp, whatever, for Morbid Angel is a good riff. Like, we got it. The second time you did it, we got it. The third time you did it, we got it. Like, here it's so egregious that I just couldn't. I couldn't get into it. They all sound good. They're all very good musicians doing their thing. It's just they're doing that thing again and again. That's it. Sorry for being mean. I get why you like it. I don't think it's like a completely shit album. It's just like, I really want these excellent musicians to take it one step further. And I was really disappointed that they didn't.
I'll defend you, Carlo, or I'll try and be the voice of reason. If you want me to really get him, ask me what I think about that Ice Age album, and then I'll go to town. I'm sort of in between you guys, which is ironic because I was thinking of this album. What was the last Alkaloid album? That was the Liquid
Anatomy.
Loved that album. The first one I thought was really good and cool, but didn't like blow me away. And then Liquid Anatomy, I was like, wow, this is it. This is the like top tier aggressive death metal stuff. And I've been thinking about that album in retrospect as the Goldilocks album, because the first one was really good, but too much death metal, not enough prog. And then this one, I think, is way too proggy. And then that one is just right. So I it's weird that I'm representing that Liquid Anatomy point in between you two here. I'm trying to be just in between. Yeah, I don't know. I remember listening to Liquid Anatomy and going, oh, all this new prog stuff they've added is really cool. I wish they do more of that prog stuff. And then I got this album. I was like, oh, too much prog stuff. We really need to back off the prog stuff. This this album is, as with all of other colors, stuff that he likes. It's too much for me. I can't hang. I can't handle it. I do think it's good. I don't think it's bad, but I do think of the three Alkaloid albums, this one is not grabbing me as much as the other ones. But I don't know. Again, I feel like, yeah, it's good. I don't know. It just doesn't click.
Okay, sorry for shitting
Yeah,
on your
sorry,
favorite album,
Carlo.
Carlo.
All right.
It's all right.
Objectivity is a lie, so
Yeah, that's right.
yeah.
There is no truth, so don't even worry about it.
True, it's true.
All right. You
But
guys can
no,
shit on my favorite album if
can
you
it
want.
even be? Go for it.
All right, so I got my album of the year, and I've been trying to keep my order under wraps and make it a bit of a surprise because I am shocked by my album of the year because I was done with this guy. I didn't think I wanted anything to do with him, and we're talking about the new album from Steven Wilson with the Harmony Codex.
Wow.
I was so done with Steven Wilson, you guys. That last album, oh, just appalling. And then the cover art for this got released with the blocks on the thing, and I get it, it's the color that's been taken out of the world, but I'm just like, fuck, man, how pretentious can you be? And this album is extremely pretentious, but it is so good. And I like it because this is Steven Wilson. He's gone down that sort of new wavy poppy thing that he did on the last couple of albums with the electronica. This isn't that. He's gone back to prog. This is Pink Floyd-y prog. Like this is what the Porcupine Tree reunion album should have been, I kind of feel like. This really reminds me of I always call it We Lost the Skyline, but that's the first song. What's the
The
best
sky
Porcupine
moves
Tree album?
sideways.
Sky Moves Sideways. That's the best Porcupine Tree album, and this is like that again. I was gonna say that part two, but it's that part three because that is Wish You Were Here part two, and this is like Wish You Were Here part three. But mixed with like, yeah, modern, like dark electronic, like Vangelis sounding kind of stuff that again everyone else has been doing, but I don't think anyone's been doing it as good here. I am staggered and blown away by this album. Like this stands for me along with Sky Moves Sideways and Fear of a Blank Planet as like the best thing he's done.
So, first of all, the best Porcupine Tree album is Lightbulb Sun, okay? And
That's my
then
least favorite
the
Porcupine Tree album,
no,
apart from the
no, come on.
debut.
And then the second best album is The Sky Moves Sideways. That we agree on it. Sky Moves Sideways is very good. I really liked Rock Bottom, which is the song he did with Ninette. I just like Ninette. I think she's underrated, very good vocalist. I listened to this album once and it kind of flew over my head because we already have The Sky Moves Sideways and Wish You Were Here and Metal and all this stuff. Like, I don't know. Okay, I don't know what I want from Steven Wilson at this point. Maybe I just want him to stop.
That's what I
Could
wanted
be.
before I heard this album.
Yeah, I don't know if because this is as close as I'm ever going to get to something from Steven Wilson, modern Steven Wilson, that I actually like. Because this is me, right? This is aimed at me, like prog, psychedelic, dark electronica. Like this is stuff that I like, but it's just kind of, I don't know, fizzed at me. Maybe I just need to spend more time with it. I'm very surprised that it's your album of the year.
I am shocked. Like last year I heard what was the Fit for an Autopsy album in like February, and I'm like, that's it, that's album of the year. And then this year it's been chopping and changing, and then this come along and I wasn't even interested, and yeah, just completely transfixed from the moment I put it on. And the last song is like maybe the best Steven Wilson slash Porcupine Tree song album. It's
I
song.
mean, did you catch you caught the reference in the name, right? It's a Voyage 34 reference.
I did not get the reference.
He in Voyage 34, which is Wilson's like most experimental and psychedelic prog album, there's a very like iconic part where Sample says, and then Steve, I don't remember the name of the guy, met himself coming down the upcase.
Oh yeah, I did hear the down the up case. I got
And
that
then
part.
this crazy. So the last track is called Staircase, and Wilson can't make like a psychedelic track called Staircase and not reference that. So
Was Up the Downstairs another one of my
Up
favorite
the Downstairs,
Porcupine
sorry.
Tree albums? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got that it was like a throwback to that, but it just builds up to this like sick bass solo. And we were talking about the Ne Obliviscaris album, which I think is, yeah, incredibly well produced. The production on this album is amazing. And like, I get that he is a producer and does that.
The
And
best, one
apparently,
of the best producers of all time. Like, to be clear, with all my rage against Wilson and like my disappointment, he's one of the best producers to have ever produced rock, ever.
And apparently there's like an even better, truly produced album version of this like coming or something. But like even just listen to this on Spotify or with my MP3s that I've got, it sounds like so full and clear. I am shocked that this is my album of the year, but every time I go back to it, I'm like, yep, it is. It's
That's funny.
great. Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants.
It wants to listen on Earth again. Maybe on Earth's my favorite album of the year.
Okay,
Yeah, we did it.
here
Thanks,
we are.
guys.
Thank you.
I did want to talk about the best EP of the year. Have you guys got strong feelings about that?
No,
No,
I
sorry.
will just say the Kellis Dow Boys EP is so fucking good,
It
and
is
I'm
fucking good. I can agree with you on that.
it's all right. We're all in agreement. That's the best EP of the year, and we've never disagreed
Yes,
about anything. Cool.
crowned, crowned. Okay.
Thanks, guys. See you next year.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you.
Thanks a lot. Good to see
Bye.
you. Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, mate.
Morning, caller.
Your Canadian's coming.
Well, he said he would come, so I think so. He's online on Slack, so could try shooting a message.
Yeah, give it a little bit before I start hassling him. We're in bonus time. What do you want to talk about while Eden's not here?
I don't
What about, I was going to ask, have you been to any gigs, Carlo,
know.
this year? I've got a whole year. What did you go to? Because there were some. I'm going to take a guess. Did you go to the Ocean and Rivers of Nil and Niobrara show that happened?
I sure did.
Yeah, I thought you might. You might
It
have. Was it good?
was great.
It was great. Yeah, because I think that was, I was looking, whatever night that was, I was just like, oh, I got a free dart. I'll see if there's anything on. There was that. There was Napalm Death. And there was also, I think that was the same night as Polaris
Right.
doing
Got it.
there with August Burns Red and stuff. So quite the selection there. But I went to none of those in the end. I stayed home. But I figured you would be at the Carlo show, I guess.
Absolutely, the color joke.
Carlo show.
But yeah, it was good. And it's kind of like nice when, I remember seeing Neo play to 50 people at the Bendigo Hotel and seeing them at the Forum, which is favorite venue in the city, with a sold out crowd and pyro and stuff. It was just, yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Again, I get it that way with Parkway Drive, seeing them headline festivals and stuff. And I'm like, I saw you at a little fucking community center. Yeah. So what else did you go? Let's do. I'm warming up. What's like best gig of the year if you went to a couple? I went to a few, but.
Well, there's four that would be in contention. So there's that one. Well, there's was Gojira this year?
I saw them at the no, I think that was last year because they were this Good Things Sideshow, but it was like in December last year. Yeah.
Okay. So then, all right, make that three in contention
Okay.
then. Electric Callboy, of
Oh, you
course.
went again?
Yep. And Ghost.
Oh yeah, I went to that one. That's one of the ones I went to that, and then I was sick for like a month and a half afterwards.
Oof.
Because
Did
I
you get
was.
COVID or something, or?
Oh, I didn't, but I got some kind of flu where I may as well have had COVID. But it was like I left the house and went to a big stadium full of people and brought all of it home. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. It was packed. I was like right down the front on like the edge of the standing area. And it was like,
Right.
oh, everyone will move. And not everyone was just like locked in and you couldn't move. And there was like security guards walking down, like pushing people in, like stay in the line. Like, we can't. There are people there. Like, this is overpacked. Yeah, that was a good show. That was a good show.
Yeah, loved it. It was just like that's what rock and roll is all about.
Yeah, that was cool. They're definitely like a big band now. And lots of like, I did notice lots of like different people there, not just
Yeah, very
like metal
diverse.
dudes. Yeah. So, you know, they're obviously, I mean, they've already crossed over, but crossing over into a bigger thing, which is cool. That album, not Meliora, that's the one you like. What's the one I like? Impera.
Yeah, I like that one too.
I'm wondering, like, I think that should have been my album of the year. That's the one I've gone back to. I still like Fit for an Autopsy, like at the time, and yeah, I still think it's great. But the one I have continued to listen to like every month on the reg is that Ghost one. Though I got a docket points. I will only listen to it in my altered order because I still don't really care for Kaiserian. But so you know, maybe if it's out of order and the opening track sucks, it's not the album of the year. But that's the one that's carried over from last year that I've gone back to. Same for you, or I guess you Callboy as well.
Let's see what even fucking came out last year. So
I
yeah,
messaged you.
Electric Callboy is the one I've come back to by far the most,
I've listened to it a
but
couple of times, but not as
it is
much as I
also
was.
biased by the fact that I have a CD of techno
Oh, okay.
and our car doesn't have Bluetooth, so we can only listen to music either on the radio or on the CD. And it's one of the few CDs I have that Maggie also likes, so that means it gets played a lot.
Just messaged Eden. We'll see how he goes. Yeah. So what did I go to? I went to Ghost and I went to, because gigs are expensive now, is the problem.
Sure.
Yeah, they've gone up like $20 after the pandemic. And like, you know, I'm not saying the musicians don't worth it, aren't worth it, but I don't have it, is the problem. So I went to that. There was another one in there. Oh, Don Broco. I saw Don Broco and it was like, yeah, that's the best gig of the year. That was like top three gigs all time, I
Another
think.
one I hear about it, man. I do
Okay.
not want to read
Well, I won't go in detail. It was very good.
it. Maggie and I have been hanging to see them, obviously. And just every time they're not coming, they're not coming. And then we had our trip planned to go to Europe. And we were like, if they're playing in North America when we're in North America, if they're playing in Europe when we're in Europe, we're going to alter our plans and go and see them. And then they come to Melbourne whilst we're in the Northern Hemisphere.
It
And it's
was
just like,
good.
why, you guys?
It was.
Why did you do this to us?
Can I tell you one thing?
Go for it.
So, you know, he does the main guy with the Rob. He does all the shows in different sports jerseys. So he did the
Right.
whole concert in a Melbourne football jumper.
I did say
Yeah, I thought
that,
he might. He came out. I was like, oh, this is color.
yeah.
He'd love it. You're in Europe. Yeah, that was good. And I saw Sepultura like 2 weeks ago for the sideshow for the Good Things. That ended up being the only thing I went to out of that. And they were fucking incredible and they were
Nice.
great. And they played lots of new stuff off that last album that I really like. And I was so excited and they looked so happy and then they broke up. Or at least
That,
they announced that they're gonna break up in a year or so if they feel like it, maybe. So who knows? But I was like, oh, it's been a while since that last album they were talking about. They seemed like really into it. And I was like, cool, we're gonna get something new. I'm excited to be a Sepultura fan. And then the next week they're like, oh, we've had enough. And I was like, oh, I haven't. I'm back on board. I think that it might have been the only three gigs I went to this year. There was a lot. Did you go to Flea and Cattle Decapitation? That seems like another Carlo show.
It was a Carlo show. I did go, but I was exhausted that day. And literally, the void alone finished. And it was hard work just to even stay awake standing up for that to start. And then as soon as that finished, I was like, I can't do this. I'm going home. So that was sad.
Well, now Eden is not online. I messaged him and he has disappeared. Don't know how long we should wait.
Well, let's see. I can do this Saturday, he says.
He does, right? And I sent the thing.
But Saturday for him is
Is
tomorrow.
tomorrow. Oh.
So maybe that's the issue we're having here.
Right.
Because we're in the future.
Shit.
Which, to be fair, you did say Saturday.
Okay. God, time zones are hard.
Yeah. I guess your screenshot is on Sunday as well.
Is it?
Maybe
Okay.
that's what I was looking at, the screenshot.
Our Sunday 11. That makes sense. So
Yep.
I've got the time wrong.
Well, I mean, I thought the same as you. Even before your Slack message, it was in my calendar as Saturday 11 a.m. So.
Yeah, but no, that makes sense. It should have been our Sunday because this would be it's his Friday night.
Which,
Okay.
I mean, is fine for me. I can still
You
do 11
can do
tomorrow.
tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. I'll see you again tomorrow at 11 then.
Sounds good, mate.
All right, see ya.
Well, good to speak to you anyway. Been well.
I'll speak to you a lot more tomorrow.
Take care, mate. See
Cool.
you then.
See ya.
Oh, well, hello.
Good morning, Eden, or evening, I guess.
Yeah,
How are you
time is an
doing?
illusion.
Look, for something that's not real, it causes me a lot of problems.
Yeah. I mean that the fact that it's not real doesn't mean it's not powerful, as we well know, right?
I've read House Flaves, I get it.
Yeah, it's like those stupid conservatives going, well, if it's just a social construct, then why is it so important? I mean, everything is a social construct.
Podcast! Ah.